Goggling squirrels and zoggling goys will always sit down and suck whatever lies we recognize. We don't give a fuck. There's a lot of goose dead, so we can sleaze and piss at night while we lie off our heads. My daddy served in the army where he lost both his nuts. Clown flew that rag out our yard till the day that it died. It wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live stupid in the land of the sea. Now this empire that I loathe is falling under attack. A mighty Jew cocksucker, come dudling dog up the ass. As soon as we can see dimly through our dumb black eye, mamsers, we let up your shithole like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Zong, we'll put your name at the top of its lip, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt stop flapping her tits. And this eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff Mammy's freedom, skanky old twat. She'll feel like Zong's shit storm is coming down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the Rottweiler and Jews. Oh, justice will be served and the kiklings will rage. This big old Zong will shit when you rattle its cage. And you'll be sorry that you messed with the Jew-S of A. Cause we'll put our tongue up your ass. It's a Zongling fag way. Hey, Uncle Zong, we'll put your name at the top of its lip, and the statue of Jimmy Grunt flapping her tip. And the eagle will shit, and it's gonna be hot when you sniff Mammy's freedom, stanky old twat. You'll feel like Zong's shit storm is carrying down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the Rottweiler and you. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Of the Rottweiler and you. Oh, shit. Whoa, whoa. Of Wigger's Red Walker and you.
A little bit. Well, this show always starts late. And some warlord I'd make here, you know, not running this even like Mussolini supposedly did on time. But on the other hand, I didn't know Mussolini was noted for being exactly a fanatic in terms of personal, time here. So, anyway, let's see here. We get the show on the road finally.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamser ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain. In the open air, coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon the third and the final. But my message, as always, is aimed specifically at the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 113 of the Movement Turd, and tonight is the 11th of March, and it's a few minutes after 8:30, Granby Unstandard Time, and the name of this episode is called When Lies Fall Apart. Now, folks, lies throughout the Zogland and everywhere else, especially within the bowel movement, are falling apart. Critters who have no business being our leaders, you know, be in the Zogland or in white nationalism, essentially are being caught telling lies and lies and lies and lies. Not that it really freaking matters. I mean, folks, all of our so-called leaders, be it in the bowel movement or, you know, in white nationalism or, you know, in the Zogland, are nothing but liars. There's a few exceptions. I'll go ahead and give Harold Covington the benefit of the doubt because he has gone ahead and paid his dues and he actually does have a plan. But generally, all these Nazis and certainly among the, you know, the, what I call the wandering mamzers of Wikipedia talks to Christian identity, nothing but Jews, mamzers, and Zogbots. Now, folks, I went ahead and listened to how I spoke, Friday. My lip was sort of numb here, and 6 teeth got pulled. Obagender Bender was sort of wondering about that here. And, folks, Obagender Bender might very well be in on the chat room tonight. Not that it matters. Anyway, getting on, I usually go on for about 10-15-hour rant here, and I'm going to go ahead and prepare from the spoken text here. All across the Zogland and in the bowel movement, the lies that they, the Zoglings, tell them Uyghur fools are falling apart. Obongo admits that he is part of a conspiracy with the Republican establishment to finish off Ron Paul and Santorum in order to coronate Mrs. Palooka Romney to take a dive against the half-raccoon Ameriquan in the next general selection for head Zogling. All the glibber Uyghurs are all pissed off because Flesh Rimblow, painkiller addict and Viagra smuggler, calls some glibber mamzers a slut because she wants Uyghur taxpayers to pay her to screw other carpet munchers. And the Republicans are blaming the first nigger for Jew speculators on Wall Street raising gasoline prices on the declining middle class because these tards call for a new war on Iran to benefit the Jews. Now a crazed Zogling jupe has killed a, you know, baker's dozen or two of ragheads in Afghanistan, and the pretense is that none of this can be changed. In the bowel movement, we have Jews like Eli James and Bill Fink and Dan Johns, along with these wandering mamzers of Wikipedia Talks to UCI, pretend to be actual Christian identity, while bleeding out the ass from Crohn's or slash Jew assgades, and not hiding very well the fact that they be kikes. Jeff Shoup, last week, was caught with a mamzerist with a step niglet after having denied all this being true for over 4 years, and now 1,500 names of Uyghur tards and Anglo-Mestizo create tards mainly, released to the One Niggers Project in the Southern Poverty Law Center. And most of them are delusional Anglo-Mestizos anyway. The Southern Professional Liar Center releases a claim that hate groups are expanding across the Zogland, and that is the fault of these Uyghurs and Anglo-Mestizos that they are being pissed at seeing Uyghurs going the way, first economically, you know, now legally, and soon actually, as did the South African Boers, Uyghurs who voted to give in to majority drool by niggers. Okay, yeah, it looks like I have a call in here. Say hello.
Hey, Roxy wanted me to call her. Call her on the cell phone, right?
Okay, yes, Jane. All right.
Give me 10 minutes. Hey, tell her to give me 10 minutes to brush my teeth and take my medicine.
All right, Jane, you're on the air. By the way, bye-bye. That was... That was Roxy's friend, Jane, who essentially is always going on a seafood diet. She goes in and eats everything that she sees. Going on with it. So all the lies are being exposed for lies. So what to do? Well, unlike most in the bowel movement, the Murmur says that every solution lies in the Great Tribulation. The way to prepare for such is to prepare for such, in secret and alone, in a way to save your own life. And if you have leadership skills and sufficient ruthlessness, then you can be one of the few, the proud, the ruthless, the 10,000 warlords. Okay, that's the prepared, we want Jane on the show. Jane is a sort of a skank and a slut, and she has been known to fuck niggers and beaners, and she has a beaner kid, and essentially she's mainly Roxy's friend. And sometimes she comes down to the hovel to visit, and she eats all of Roxy's chocolates here, And I once baked her a full, you know, cake mix box here, and she pretty well ate 5 cupcakes, you know, before she got out of the house. And in any case here, folks, I mean, Jane, I mean, if you have a dick, Jane might be, you know, G.I. Jane or General Issue Jane might be interested in you. But folks, you know, I don't know. I don't think that would be an especially smart thing to do. So anyway, Jane has her own, you know, way of doing things here, which is not my way of doing things. On the other hand, I have better things to do than Judge Jane, you know, because she's in Kansas or wherever. Anyway, getting on with it. You know, and I'll go ahead and wait for Logan to go ahead and call in, because I went ahead and called up Rustfur and was told that Rustfur is in bed. And I guess Rustfur has been working hard or hardly working. However, you go ahead and discuss it, and thus we go ahead and leave Rustfur, you know, pretty well in the arms of Morpheus here. Well, he's asleep. So let's just go ahead and go on with the show. It looks like Mona Montgomery has gone ahead and forgiven me for about 6 weeks, telling her that, you know, Numbers chapter 5 didn't mean what she thought it meant. So she can go ahead and call in, probably after Logan and probably after a few others here. I don't know. I hear myself, you know, having a little bit of time, you know, trouble going ahead and speaking. But on the other hand, no more than usual. And, folks, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be like my mother or not. She went ahead and got all her teeth pulled, and then she went ahead and got some dentures back in the days when dentures cost $200 way back in the, early 70s or so. And pretty well my dad borrowed some money from me, and he never did repay it. But unlike my brother, I never held it against him. But she would go ahead, and in many cases, when she wanted to yak real quick, she would just yank them old dentures out of her mouth here and just yak up a storm. And she very seldom would use them to eat. I would go ahead and tell her that, you know, essentially it would be better, you know, I mean, you know, why did she even get the dentures if all she was going to use them for was grinning, you know, like a coon or a possum? You know what I mean? I mean, if she wasn't going to use them to eat, and certainly wasn't going to use them to yap, I mean, what was the purpose of, you know, getting them in the first place? Such logic, such linear logic, you know, linear thinking called logic, you know, such male, you know, specialties is not a female trait here. It's not a feminine trait. So anyway, I don't know if she still has her dentures, somewhere up in, up someplace in some small town in West River, Central South Dakota, or whether or not she actually took them out of the house down here. But I went out to the farm the other day and was looking around, and, oh, well, I wasn't too impressed with how my brother has kept things up. But then again, I mean, that's just the way of the world, I guess. I went ahead and seen one of his friends who lived across the street, and he's raising pigs. Raising pigs, even though corn is $8 a bushel, expensive as can be. And anyway, never mind. Defray the cost of some implants or new dentures? And the answer is no, I have enough money to go ahead and get by. Anyway, call in Kane. I'm not sure if this is a real Kane 123123. You know what I mean? It might be, but I tend to doubt it. Alright, anyway. What I wanted to go ahead and, you know, mainly discuss, and I will go ahead and, you know, and blow bags all belong in body bags. Let me see. Yes, 88 stands for that here. I want to say, get me up the ass. Well, I don't think that's K123. 123 here. Where am I at here? It might be the real genuine Kane, but on the other hand, it may not be here. So if it ain't the real genuine Kane and you're listening in to what your name double is doing here, do not blame. Do not blame whitenationalists.org. Do not blame Christian National Forum. Do not blame me. Do not blame the Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Area Nation of Missouri. Go ahead and blame the monkey barrel for this, you know, shenanigans, because that's probably who it is. Anyway,
Well, I, you know, you don't need to write, you don't need to write me a check here, Frank and Wigger, okay? Anyway, going on with it here, what you probably should do is go out and buy you some more .22 rimfire ammunition is what you need to do. Because, folks, when Zog falls apart, such useful things like that will probably not be manufactured, you know, at least for a cheap price anymore. Although it used to be, what, $15? You know, $15 for 550 rounds, and now it's closer to 20. Last time I bought some. Every so often I go ahead and buy some at a Walmart, not in the Osho or Joplin or, you know, in this general area here. If I'm going to Springfield, I might buy some in Aurora or Monette or whatever. But in any case, folks, what I want to talk to you is about the lies, which are pretty well falling apart. Now, someone was bitching and pissing and moaning that the nigger attorney general has pretty well said is that the first nigger has the right to go in and just kill people without benefit of law, without even due process of law. Even, you know, he calls it due process when the nigger says, go ahead and kill this raghead. Well, folks, it's just a matter of time before the nigger goes ahead and kills wiggers, wiggers who dare stand up to him. So, folks, there's a lie that, you know, there's a lie that essentially we are a nation of laws, not of men. Hell, we're not even a nation of laws, much less, you know, only of mamzers here. They're not even men. And in any case, all this crap here, I'm laughing about how, you know, here's old Newt Gingrich saying that Obama has a 999 plan, essentially to let gas go to $9.99. And it's all Obongo's fault for going ahead and vetoing this pipeline. Well, folks, this pipeline would only be used to go ahead and transport oil across to send to foreign countries that can pay more for it per gallon than what the Zogling Wiggers can. And increasingly, when you end up raising the price of all this stuff, let me just tell you how the price of oil increased. The price of oil increased because three out of four of the Republican ass clowns are simply saying they're going to have a war with Iran regardless of whether or not they can actually defeat Iran. They're going to go ahead and start a war backing Israel. And essentially, that is what's caused the price of gasoline to go down at an unprecedented rate here. Right around now, it was going around here to about a nickel or so less than $3 a gallon. It was going down for the first time in, you know, many, many, many months. And essentially, I believe that they went ahead and talked about this to go ahead and benefit the oil companies, to go ahead and justify the increase of oil. And you end up having, you know, like they're saying, is that never before has there been so much gasoline and fuel oil and everything produced, but never has there been such a price. And essentially what happens is that Obongo is allowing these Jews like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and the rest of these people, like they did in 2008, to go ahead and artificially bid the price of gasoline up. Nobody gives a shit for the Wiggers. Well, the fact of the matter is it's the Wiggers who need to go ahead and pay for all this stuff, to go ahead and pay for the niggers, to pay for everything under the sun. The Wiggers are expected to go ahead and pay. And everyone believes the Wiggers will continue to go ahead and pay. But what you see, more and more and more, you hear about how food banks, and here's Wiggers here, who essentially used to have, between the two of them, $100,000 a year jobs, and in many cases, even government worker Wiggers being laid off. And you go ahead and hear about pension funds borrowing against their own pension fund to go ahead and pay into the pension fund as if that's fooling somebody. More and more and more what we hear is that nowadays even Wiggers cannot go ahead and take care of their replacement Wiggers. Essentially, the seed corn of Zog is being frittered away. It's being wasted. You go ahead and hear about niggers in Detroit demanding $150 billion more dollars in order to get Detroit through another couple months here. Well, folks, that's not going to happen.
and they're bitching about how dare the general state legislature take over the schools. But they've cut the schools in half. This is old news. So what we see more and more and more are Uyghurs being less and less and less able to go ahead and shoulder the burden. I remember last week listening, you know, during the primary, you know, Super Tuesday primary, to where essentially here you had these talking heads talking about the, you know, who is going to go ahead and not end the decline of America, but the disintegration of America. Now, when you end up having talking Uyghur heads talk about trying to end the decline, the decay, the finishing off of things as we know it, you know that even Uyghurs are going ahead, and essentially I seem to catch one of them. I think it was this Negros down in Brazil, and they had, you know, I think it was on MSNBC, the Obongo channel. And folks, you know, here they were as liberal Uyghurs still talking about the decline and the collapse of Zog. Why are we not surprised? Why are we not surprised with that sort of stupid shit happening? Why? You know, I mean, essentially, you know, I think that nigger bitch went ahead and caught herself, knew that she was screwing up by going ahead and saying the Zog Babylon is falling apart. Well, folks, you know, there's people who wonder, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, let me just tell you that the 10,000 warlords project essentially is not going to, quote, do anything. Essentially, you ought to understand this great tribulation means that there will be a collapse, a great collapse, when everything falls apart. And that essentially, more and more and more, people are beginning to realize that. When even liberal Uyghurs and niggers are talking about the collapse of America and having some great Uyghur like Mittens Paluka or Obongo save America. Well, folks, Obongo, all he's done is gone ahead and dig a hole twice as fast as Bushy did. Bushy went ahead and, you know, had what, $500 billion deficits? Now Obongo has what, $1.4 trillion deficits? He's digging a hole 2 to 3 times faster than Bushy did of deficits. You end up having this Erin, what's her name? Erin, you know, some Uyghur skank here who essentially thinks that she's going to go ahead and survive. She was talking to old Buchanan, I think, as if, well, what happens is that when you end up having nigger rape gangs, somehow she's going to go ahead and survive this shit. No. What you end up having is that you have people beginning to realize, even in a glib, superficial way, Zog is falling apart, that all these lies don't mean much of anything. Okay? You know, Erin Burnett. Yeah, Erin Burnett. So, in any case, she's Lloyd's love. Erin Burnett. She was some Uyghurist, and she was talking about how, you know, she was talking, I think, to old Pat Buchanan about how it doesn't really matter if the niggers take over. Well, folks, if the niggers take over, does she think she's going to go ahead and be spared because she's a good liberal Uyghur? She's going to go ahead and be spared being raped, robbed, murdered, killed, and eaten by Daryl Lamont Jenkins or you know, Tyrone Leroy Williams or Ma Dick X? And the answer is, no, Uyghurs, you're stupid. You have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Folks, you have all these people, and just like Obongo, goes ahead and says, well, we get to kill anybody who we want. But does Obongo seem to understand is that when you go ahead and abandon rule of law, that essentially your former victims are not going to go ahead and take advantage of that, that they are not going to be bound by rule of law? I don't even see why these people believe that. That's why I go ahead
And I've often wondered, why in the world is Edgar Steele worrying and whining and pissing and moaning about FBI going ahead and entrapping him? The, you know, pretty well the solution to that is that essentially you simply declare anybody who works for the government, you declare the FBI, you declare the Secret Service, you declare the Congress critters, you go ahead and declare every single policeman, every single social worker, every single baby stealing person, you declare them to be criminals. You declare them as creatures to be exterminated root and branch along with their children. And if you're worried about saving the white race, well then if they, you go ahead, you take a DNA test, and you know, if they're not white, you just simply go ahead and munch them down into you just go ahead and run them through the wood shedder and go ahead and feed them to the regime criminal parents. And you know, there's nothing wrong, morally wrong, in a state of lawlessness, in a state of civil war. We're exterminating entire cities, entire regions. Not only of Mamzers and Jews, but of the Uyghurs who went ahead and brought this shit about. Folks, there are people, go ahead and blame me for talking about such things. Oh, Winston, he's a maniac, he's evil, he's this, he's that. All I'm saying, you know, just like I told the Uyghur Whimper in 2004, is that rather than go ahead and go against the flow of history, you go with the flow of history. You understand that there is nothing remaining to go ahead and be saved. Did, you know, essentially did Noah go ahead and essentially worked 120 years during the first Zog Babylon of his day, of miscegenation, of Jews and fallen angels and the spawn of them taking over the local Zog Babylon? Folks, Zog Babylon I was not under Cain, was not under Sargon the Great. It was under the line of Adam going ahead and miscegenating away. The second Zog Babylon was not with Nimrod being over Mamzers, being over Gooks, being over niggers, but rather him being over the quote blackheads, who were probably these Cro-Magnons who were already miscegenating with other races, but also of the line of Noah, and the one who went ahead and pretty well put an end after Yahweh went ahead and confounded their tongue. The one who went ahead and dealt with Nimrod because he did not like the way that Nimrod was miscegenating away his children, Elam and Assyria or Asher. You know, going ahead and mixing in the blood of Dravidian niggers with the Elamites. He didn't like that. And so what he did is he went to Nimrod, even though he had the garments of power, which went ahead and ruled over the beasts, including the beasts of the field. And what he did is he was not a beast of the field. He went ahead and he killed Nimrod and hacked him into about 12 or 13 part pieces and then sent the pieces to the other kings of these sundry white tribes and told them, no more, no more race mixing. This is what happens to you. I will kill you and I will cut you up and maybe feed a portion of your penis to the jackals or a crab or whatever in the case of, Osiris, Isis, and Horus. And folks, that is how things were taken care of. Babylon II under Nimrod, essentially it was too early to go ahead and finish it off. But now we are under Zog Babylon III and final, and Yahweh is not looking after America. We've gotten, especially as Ephraimites and Manassehites, we've gotten our birthright, and we wasted it. We went ahead and fed strange races. And as a result, they have no gratitude anymore than they have any ability to go ahead and keep things going. And so, we are dying because of our own stupidity, because of our own weakness, because of our own refusal to understand how things are.
Folks, what we have, like I keep on saying, is not a nigger problem, is not a beaner problem, is not a gook problem, it's a wigger problem. It's wiggers going ahead and choosing to believe lies. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and maybe Logan will call in, maybe a few others. We'll have some guest callers. And folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, if they wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good dog used to be. Being caught long stone, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop.
Okay, folks, I'm going to sort of give up on waiting for Logan to go ahead and call in. Let's see here. Logan had a fairly interesting show. He had his co-host, Linda, talking about the Book of Esther, and I went ahead and called in, even though I wasn't feeling too good. But, folks, I've gotten a good couple nights sleep here since then. So I'm feeling fairly good. My gums are healing and everything's going just fine, okay? And I'm still eating rather soft foods here, but I am cutting down on all these half-rusted chicken noodle soup cans. We said that they were best used by February 2002 or so. There was one can, essentially, it was sort of, it had a real, real, real old label, and it was pretty well covered in a lot of rust, so I went ahead and opened it, but it was still good. If it has pressure still, it's still good. But you also look and see in it here, whether or not, it's rusted through or anything like that here. But you said the can's swollen or something like that. Anyway, so it's still good, and... No, I've gone ahead and eaten three out of these four old cans of soup here. Of course, the later ones said that they were best used by 2007 or something here. So I may go ahead and dig into this commodity soup across the street or something like that. But anyway, I'm doing okay. Healing out okay. And anyway, getting on with it. Where was I? All right. You end up having this, you know, these Whiggers going ahead and talking about how there's a lack of a rule of law. And about how on March 5th, Eric Holder was, you know, in the Department of Justice was actually talking about, about how things are going bad here. He said, you know, this guy says, historians of the future, if they're not in prison for saying so, will trace the end of America's democratic experiment to the fearful days immediately after 9/11. But what, you know, in any case, you had these critters, Bush and Cheney, and they made the first decisions. And folks, these were not the first decisions. People are whining like pussies about the Patriot Act. Well, folks, Zog has done this shit since the start of the precious constipation. John Adams went ahead, him and his Federalist cocksuckers, who went ahead, and they're called Federalists, because they believed in so-called federalism. What is federalism? To where, essentially, you go ahead and go under the pretense that you can go ahead and create an overall, you know, nation, and that they would go ahead and allow these federated states, the 13 colonies, to go ahead and maintain their overall sovereignty. And then they passed the Bill of Goods, and 9 and 10 went ahead and claimed that essentially you would have these so-called rights. Well, folks, you don't have any rights, and you never did. Like Kurt Saxon says, rights are just nothing more than privileges which the government decides that they're going to go ahead and extend to you. Right now, you end up having a lesbian lying skank here claiming that she has a right for the Whigger taxpayers to pay for a birth control. And then you have another piece of shit, Rush Limbaugh, who believes that, you know, that dope addicts and dope smugglers should be put in jail unless, of course, he's going ahead and using his beaner housekeeper to buy him Oxycontin, or he's sneaking in Viagra pills under somebody else's prescription. Folks, old Flesh Rimblow, if he is actually true to what he claims to believe, he should have been imprisoned. He should have been imprisoned and sent to prison and been fucked up the ass by a big old nigger. You know what I mean? And then I think he would have been a liberal when he got out. You know, he would have had something real to deal with an anal cyst here. So what you have is you have two pieces of shit. Rush Limbaugh, who believes essentially in rules being made for everybody but him and his federal judge bunch here, as a country club Republican here, essentially going ahead and creating all these people in prison, except for him, when he gets caught, being sent to prison, and essentially here he is, wanting to conserve nothing more than his wallet. So you end up having to where they end up passing all sorts of laws, doing away with, supposedly, the Bill of Goods. Now, folks, I've made it quite clear that I believe that you can only have white freedoms when you have white men running things. Not Whiggers, not Jews, but white men. And certainly not Mamsers and Muds and Monkeys like you have now. I'm not surprised at all this shit. And back when people, I remember way back in 1996, people were bitching about this, Freedom of Banking Act, to where essentially the banks would go ahead and tell the IRS and the federal government every time you went ahead and took out more than $1,000 and all this shit. And I said, well, why don't you think that they're already doing this shit? They're doing this shit already. They didn't give a crap about what the law says. None of these people give a crap about what the law says. Who's going to go ahead and get on their case here? Folks, none of the people went ahead and stole my grandchildren and bought and sold them give a crap. All they give a crap about law is when the law, when white law, goes ahead and catches up with them and just simply says, you're guilty. I want you to confess. You know what I mean? But it would really please me if you didn't confess before you got skinned, or even 15 minutes after you got skinned. I really want you to be a tough man's or criminal, or a tough Jew criminal, or a tough Uyghur criminal, and essentially hold out for 3 or 4 days while I'm busily skinning not only you, but your entire worthless Uyghur family. Folks, you don't have, you know, you don't pretend. Pigs like pretending. Pigs like believing that they can go ahead and destroy rule of law, and that somehow they're so special, they're so wonderful, that essentially that all these people they've wronged, all these people that they have destroyed, are going to go ahead and be forgiving of them, and that there's going to be a constipation and bill of goods to save their worthless asses. And folks, that's not going to happen. Folks, anybody who believes the government is going to go ahead and save you and that you have any rights that the government feels it needs respect or gives a shit about is an idiot, is a liar, is a fool. There are no such things. So rather than worry about what is going to happen to you, go ahead and first try to go ahead and be right with Yahweh. Rather than worry about what is going on in Washington or at your state capitol or even at your county seat, worry rather about what is going on in your area among your neighbors and know which neighbors you can trust and which neighbors are just worthless pieces of shit who are better off destroyed in the chaos which is coming. Okay? But going on, yesterday will thus be remembered as the day we give up. No more clever wordplay, enhanced interrogations, Patriot Act, targeted killings, kinetic operations, but a simple declaration the U.S. government will kill its own citizens when it wishes to via secret process we and our victims are now allowed to know or contest here. Well, folks, what good does it do to contest when they're not even paying a bit of attention here? And by the way, I found this thing over on VNNF here. And it was by this piece of shit who's associated with Uyghur Swell Wheelos and Trader Glenn Miller, who's all pissy here that Fade the Butcher didn't censor me. Here is an Anglo-Mestizo cocksucker creatard here who essentially is bringing up this whine by this, oh, what the hell it is, Peter Van Buren, former State Department. He goes ahead and brings this shit up, but this cocksucker doesn't believe in freedom of speech for me. Never did. I got kicked off last week here by one of Claire the Wolf's, nitwit supporters, libertine supporters, who got all pissed off. One of my little, a Dick Reltney, or a John Reltney, yeah, one of my Reltney sock puppets got kicked off of the mental militia by this stupid cunt called Mama Liberty, who's actually, his name is Susan Collins or something like that here. Something like that here. I mean, essentially just a skank who supposedly loves liberty and freedom and all this shit here, except when you say something she don't like. Fear shaped my life to compel compliance here. In a speech, Attorney General Holder said things no honest man would ever believe would be said by the highest law officer in the United States. Well, where have you been living, nitwit? The Attorney General is a nigger. Since when do niggers give a shit about rule of law? What happens when you have a nigger in a position of power? All that nigger cares about is essentially advancing himself. He does not give a shit about rule of law. In my lawsuit against Obongo, neither the nigger nor the nigger attorney general had any intention of obeying federal rule of civil procedure, Rule 4, and signing a waiver of service of answering to my charges. At all. Why should they? Does anybody really think, essentially if we were rule of law, and it came out this nigger was not actually a United States citizen? Does anybody believe that this nigger would be allowed to even run for dog catcher? And the answer is, well, no, here, my first president of the United States. But folks, here this nigger is, propped up by Jews, running around pretending to be a officer when he doesn't even meet the constitutional requirements. At the same time, quote, white supremacists, whites who were born in this country, who want to go ahead and, well, essentially keep only whites in a white-run country, are not allowed to run for United States Senator or for state governor. Now, Monday, you're going to end up having a bunch of these Republican retards over in Joplin going ahead and yapping about how they're going to go ahead and save America and save it for white people, although they're not going to be so crass and say they're working for white people. They're just going to go ahead and pretend in a little understated, quote, racist sort of way here. But on the other hand, shoot, I'd be allowed to even talk to them, even ask them questions as to why in the world should any white man vote for you when essentially you've gone ahead and closed it to white candidates. Why should we even bother? Because every single time, all you've done is you've been the main ones who've been going ahead and shipping these jobs overseas. Republicans are the main ones responsible for that, doing that. And yet they claim 999, Obongo has a 999 plan. Well, folks, the reason gas is so high is because 3 out of 4 Republicans have said that they would start a war with Iran in order to benefit our wonderful little Jew ally in Israel. But, oh, you know, just like an aging bully, they're scared shitless that they go ahead and fight with Iran when they've not been able to go ahead and beat countries, Muslim countries, a third their size and a couple orders of magnitude technologically less advanced. The Iranians are not going to be a pushover. They have missiles. They have missiles that are essentially the equivalent of a Pershing 1 or maybe even a Pershing 2. They have 1980s missile and rocket technology. In fact, in the case of some of their missiles that they got from Russia, they have 2000s era technology. As far as their missiles to carry, you know, major warheads, yeah, they got some very advanced missiles here. And folks, if these missiles are able to go ahead and hit within 10 meters, like this 1980s technology was able to do, well, folks, how much more do they need? How much more do they need? And the answer is not going to look good for them, okay?
Anyway, alrighty, let's see. I'm hoping.
Hello.
Hey, listen, I noticed Russ Walker didn't call in tonight.
I said as much, yes. Logan, this is Logan, right?
He didn't call into
Well, I called him and essentially Mrs. Rustford said Rustford was in bed.
No, he gave me an email, or I mean a voicemail on Friday night, and evidently he didn't get the email from my show because I started late, and that's why it because supposedly he was going to call to my show Friday night. But anyway, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm thinking maybe Russ kind of felt like I beat up on him a couple of weeks ago. But basically, I just wanted to put the truth out there that as far as this crap about Judah being all mongrels and serpent seed, if he wants to teach that, he can't prove it from Old Testament, lost books, or New Testament, and that he has to throw Revelations and a bunch of stuff out, and that basically, you know, I didn't call Russ a Jew, but basically a lot of what he's being taught is coming from serpent seed. And,
well,
you know,
Russifer essentially comes up with a lot of stuff from British Israeliteism, warmed over Herbert Armstrongism, to where essentially they believe that Judah was the Jews And what happens is that they are out, they're out on their ass because they didn't go ahead and follow Jesus Christ here. He's not really from the dual seed line Christian identity belief at all. But then again, you end up having Jews like E.R. James, you end up having Jews like Finkelschini, they come in, and I was looking at this Andy Renarsch blog, and he pretty well caught up on one thing I said, is that, folks, both E.R. James and Finkelschini are universalists in that they both believe that Jews and Mongols and six-day beasts of the field have, quote, immortal souls, and they're going to be resurrected and judged. And some of them are good, and they're going to go to heaven and, you know, pick a virtual cotton, according to E.R. James. And, they, you know, I mean, and essentially, you know, Finkelschini believes is that they're going to go ahead and be resurrected, and they're going to be all cast in the lake of fire and burnt forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's, you know, that's horse shit, too. I mean, essentially, you know, the understanding in dual seed line is that Jews are the spawn of Satan, therefore they are not under the law. They may understand the law better than some wiggers do, but they're not under Yahweh's law. In fact, they're doing the will of their father, who's Satan. And, you know, I mean, essentially, Satan doesn't have any law. Other than, well, you hate Whitey. You hate, you know, you hate the sons of true man here. But no, I mean, you know, I don't believe, and that's the problem I had with Keith, in that you end up having these people who believe that you have an immortal soul. They don't pay attention to what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, that unless you were, quote, born again, you know, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, they believe that flesh and blood, I guess, can, you know, inherit ever-burning hell. And in vain would I go ahead and point out that in Revelations, at the very end of Revelations chapter 20, after the great judgment, that death and hell would be cast into the lake of fire. There would not be any more death and hell. So, I mean, why wouldn't there be more death and hell? The answer is it wouldn't be needed because, essentially, there would be no more mortal beings. And, folks, that's, you know, that's standard dual seed line Christian identity. But here comes Eli James bringing in all this other shit. And, you know, here's Fink going ahead as a Jew criminal, going ahead initially bringing it in. Now he's going ahead and trying to be super anti-Jew loving Hitler. Well, folks, there's plenty of self-hating Jews who go ahead and scream about Jews. But, folks, the... You know, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is not aimed at Jews. It's aimed, you know, it's not even aimed at Uyghurs. It's aimed at the chosen seed of Israel's race, who did hear, you know, Christ's call. And it goes ahead and says, Jesus Christ himself in the red letter, you know, version. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, it says that most people, you know, you have to enter at the, you know, the straight and the narrow here, and you have to keep on following it. And most people just choose the broad way that leads to hell. The vast majority are going to be destroyed. Not, you know.
See, I was trying to help Russell. And the thing is,
well, there's no helping Russell. Russell believes what Russell believes, and, you know, shoot. When I first met him way back in the summer of 2010, I gave him his chance to talk about his Ephraim Scepter thing, and he said that Genesis 49:10 said that, you know, Judah had the scepter until Shiloh. I asked, okay, so when's this Shiloh occur? Oh, Shiloh occurs when there's everlasting peace when Jesus Christ returns. I said, Russ, it seems to me that Jacob Israel, when he was bringing his blessing upon all his sons, they all had a birthright. You know, although, you know, the house of Joseph, of Ephraim and Manasseh, had a double portion. Now, Pete, when you talk about double portion, essentially you're talking about a double portion. You're not talking about essentially them getting 90% of it or more. You know what I mean? But going on here, I said, so in other words, when Jacob Israel was blessing his sons about what? 2000 or 1900, you know, BC, essentially you're saying that for what? 3900 years, Judah will have the scepter and he will retain the scepter until Jesus Christ returns. Jesus Christ hasn't returned, so therefore Judah still has the scepter, like Judah has had for close to 4,000 years, correct? And Russ didn't know what to say. Russ didn't know what to say. But, you know, the very next, you know, very next episode, he was still yapping the same old stupid crap that he, him, by his own words, had disproved. So, you know, I've learned a long time, is that in some ways, you know, it's sort of hopeless to go ahead and try to talk Rusper out of Rusper's own nonsense that he's gone ahead and embraced here. You know what I mean? And I've had some of Rusper's own friends say that Rusper has absolutely no discernment. You know, why are you talking to Jews like Eli James? You know, once you figured out he's a Jew. And Rusper won't admit Eli James is a Jew, but he will admit that he's not an Israelite. Okay? So why are you talking to
Matt? He looks at his email, and he talks to him like, you know, basically, once I find out somebody's a Marvel, or especially if they're a serpent seed, I don't want to have nothing else to do with them ever again.
Yeah, that's pretty well. I mean, why are you talking to these people? Why are you even bothering with these people?
Okay, so he can't admit. Okay, let's say Russell. Because I've never had Russell tell me that Eli James is a definite mongrel. Suppose.
Oh, I have it. You know, I've had him admit that a couple times.
Okay, even if he can't choke down the truth and swallow it and admit Eli James is a damn Portuguese a Jew.
A Marino Sephardic Jew.
Okay. If he can't admit that, then at least he's a Marvel, okay? Marvels don't have the holy white man's spirit of Yahweh, so why the hell would he want to listen from a Marvel to interpret the scriptures? I mean, hell, if Russell himself is a white man, then he himself needs to interpret it and study on his own instead of listening to a damn Marvel or Jew.
Well, yes, that would be the logical thing to say. It's just that in some cases I've used Russ to go ahead and essentially send messages on to Finkelchini, to, to Eli James, in some cases to Brian Real. I mean, essentially, if I want these Mamzers and Mongrels to know something, you've heard about telephone, telegraph, telewoman. Well, hey, you know, I mean, the last one is tell Russ first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, okay. Last Friday, was it Friday? No, it was Friday or last Thursday when you did your show.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday. Somebody in there from William Flint's camp got in the chat room and started arguing with Hiram and some other people, and they were bashing me and you, and they were also bashing Eli James too, I think. So
okay.
I think Will Fink and Eli James are still at war with each other.
Oh yeah. Essentially what happens is that they're not in hot war with each other. Essentially it's sort of a cold war. The last thing was here he was going with Clint Downey about 2 weeks ago. Or Clint Downey's little meerkat trying to go ahead and make new friends to go ahead and judge about what he's lost here. Essentially, Eli James and Finkelchini have about the same, listening hood. Now, during the last week or so, what happens, Obagenderbender has come up with a new policy called 338 Rabbit Track Road, is that essentially, he's gone ahead and put 90% of his posts, most having to do with me and Pastor John Britton, into a hidden secret forum to where only, you know, actual members can go ahead and listen. Well, I sort of think that has to do with, essentially what they're paying attention to Pastor John Britton's case, to where essentially Pastor John Britton fired his worthless lawyers because they were lying sacks of shit. And he caught them pretty well admitting. That they were essentially going ass to mouth with DAI, but especially Cousin Ray, the lawyer Mariani. And what happens is that they presented another secret thing here. But if you have a Pacer account, you can go ahead and look. And essentially, what they're asking for is they've gone ahead and agreed to be dismissed from the case, But they want $220,000 here, which was essentially pretty well, they won two-thirds of the case, even though that wasn't what they were supposed to have. So essentially,
So they're trying to sue John Britton or take money from it.
They went ahead and promised. They essentially went ahead and promised a. What they did is they promised a settlement. You know, rather than go to trial, because if it went to trial, it had been decided on the basis that a defective gas turbine nozzle, a critical part in a helicopter, you know, the nozzle which leads the gases, you know, the gases onto the turbine, a critical part had been machined 15 to 22 thousandths too much by a drunken machinist. And Rolls-Royce and Dallas Aeromotive, essentially, you know, Dallas Aeromotive was a subsidiary of Rolls-Royce. And essentially what happens is that it was Rolls-Royce and Dallas Aeromotive's fault here because a drunken machinist hogged up too much material from, you know, from a critical part here. And what happens is it wasn't enough to go ahead and keep this, you know, helicopter flying at this particular altitude under this particular load. And essentially that was the proximate cause of the accident. Well, here's Brian Rio and Cousin Ray trying to go ahead and make it into a pilot error fault. I mean, essentially it's because John Britton was a real good pilot that he lived even though he had a broken back. And essentially, they decided they were going to go ahead and pass the settlement. They went ahead and passed it off to John Britton that essentially that, you know, there would not be any secret clauses because Brian Rio and Cousin Ray had fraudulently claimed that, you know, John Britton had said something mainly on Obagender Bender's forum. And that's why I think that most of these posts have gone ahead and disappeared, because essentially Obagender Bender and, you know, could go ahead and essentially be subpoenaed, and its name or whatever could be released, and you'll end up seeing a Jew Mamzer, transsexual, whatever, being on it here. So, essentially, it went on and on and on. Here the judges say, you know, it goes over, and essentially John says, well, hey, I'm not going to sign. You know, he went ahead and accused this settlement of being written by Cousin Ray the lawyer the entire time, and essentially, you know, these lying bastards went ahead and denied it and denied it and denied it. And then, well, hey, you know, you've got to go ahead and tell us how this case is going, whether you want to take the trial, what you want to do. And essentially, they admitted to him that essentially that this, you know, that this settlement was drafted by Cousin Ray the lawyer, and that now Cousin Ray the lawyer didn't want to eat his own freaking cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Much less whatever John may have sent, saying, well, I'll take the settlement, but I get half the settlement. You know, instead of you getting two-thirds of the settlement, the deal was 40%, but I'll give you lawyers half the settlement, but what you have to do is, since there's not going to be any, quote, confidentiality agreement. And essentially, here's lawyers, sent him an email, essentially admitted that they'd lied to him the entire time, and now they have to come clean. So essentially what, you know, John did is he fired these lying cocksuckers who had been screwing him. You know, he'd been in bed with the other lawyers. And so now he's have to go ahead and look for another lawyer. You can go ahead and see that shit on the, you know, if you go ahead and get a Pacer account, look at it. Well, in any case, what happens, I sort of think that's not just because, you know, because essentially, you know, Obagender Bender whining like a pussy, he'd go ahead and get all these members in who believe that this was the Christian Identity blog. You have all these swiggers coming in who want to play it being Christian Identity, says the Christian Identity forum. Then they go there, and they essentially find out that Obagender Bender is going to ask to mouth with James Wickstrom and Finkelschini. And, you know, about nine-tenths of this post is screaming about, you know, Pope Marty and Johnny Tonto. And they figured out, well, who is this clown? Who is this, you know, rascal? Essentially, they sort of disappear, or, you know, like R.D. Bradshaw, they get banned. So essentially, I sort of think is that Obagender Bender has been notified by Brian Rio and Cousin Ray, the lawyer, that essentially we need to cover our tracks. We need to go ahead and cover our tracks, and that's why he's been doing this shit, of going ahead and essentially, you know, getting it to where you can't see the Pope Marty and Johnny Tonto material unless you're a guest there. An open gender bender is a data miner. You know what I mean? You cannot get on. You cannot get on there. You cannot sign up using a using an internet proxy server. You know what I mean?
Open gender bender's real identity.
Well, that's what everybody wants to know here. I think it might be a critter called Rob Roy McGregor. You know what I mean? But then again, the real William B. says that, you know, whoever it is, you know, it's going ahead and its IP number is traced to the One Niggers Project, you know, or the One Pistols Project of Daryl Lamont Jenkins, and that the real Obadiah 118 is a nigger. Well, Obagender Bender is too smart to be a nigger. You know, I think it's a Jew or a Mamzer, you know, with gender identity issues like a transsexual here, so I ridicule the crap out of it. You know, Liar Bill was chimping out, though, last week here, and I went ahead and saved it here, so I'll go ahead and release some more, you know, Liar Bill. See, Liar Bill went ahead and told me one story about, you know, its sisters being mud sharks and having a bunch of nigger niece and, you know, nephews, how he would never call me a child molester because he was charged with sexual assault of one of his nieces. So I assumed she was a nigger, and then what, a year or two later, he went ahead and said that he had an older brother who was white, and he essentially assaulted this, you know, this niece twice here. Essentially, Liar Bill goes ahead and tells different stories, and the idiot never knows enough to go ahead and keep his lies, you know, complete. So essentially, I go ahead and, of course, you know, use the worst of whatever Liar Bill's lies are. But, you know, well, I mean, I'm sort of thinking that Obagender Bender is essentially it's working with Brian Rio, it's working, of course, with Finkelschini. It's wanting to pretend to be Christian Identity. It's over on Harold Covington's forum talking about how it's the real Christian Identity. And I need to go ahead and answer that here one of these days. It's just, it's like this here. What happens if you're a real white man? Let's say you are taken in by Obagender Bender, but you're still a white man, you're still a child, of Yahweh, you are still a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's say that, you know, you're just a total retard, like Russ is a lot of times. I don't believe that Russ is going to go to hell because he's a fucktard. I believe he's going to have a little bit of trouble in this life because he's a fucktard, but I don't believe that Yahweh will go ahead and hold it against him, you know, because, well, I mean, shoot. You know, Yahweh, I mean,
I think Russ is going to have to face the truth on a lot of issues, though.
Yeah, I don't think Russ wants to face the truth on this issue. I'm not going to press him. I believe that, I do believe that Russ will go ahead and earn eternal life. He's just going to go ahead and find this life a little bit rougher because he insists on being stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I mean, folks, I think there were a lot of people who lived.
Okay, but what I'm saying is my show is a teaching show. Russell calls in. I'm all about Yahweh and the scriptures. And me bringing up the Judah thing was legit. And I didn't get really ugly with him. I'm just saying, hey, you know, if you're going to say that there's only 10 tribes and there's not 12 tribes, if you're going to say that how come 12,000 of the tribe of Judah walk with Yahweh and they're undefiled and they're blameless? He said, blameless is not in the scripture. Well, depending on what translation, the Rotherham says blameless, King James says without fault. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is that I don't even argue too much with Rusper. I mean, Rusper should know what the truth is. You know, even according to Rusper's right.
He called me a liar, though, and he looked up on the internet. He said, I just found it. I said, what translation? There's many translations. And he said, blameless is not in Revelations. I said, well, you know, a long time ago, it was in my head from the Rotherham. But when I looked up King James, it said, without fault or faultless. That's the same thing. And basically, he had already hung up by then, by the time I found that. But I still typed it in the chat room. I see, basically, it's about me getting Yahweh's word out. I'm not trying to prove that I'm right always and Russ is wrong always. But he just can't. I mean, he wants to come to me all the time with emails. Oh, Scott Bott, Eli James, all these people sent me this bullshit. It must be, it sounds logical. You know, like the two E's. There's two, instead of one E,
Yeah, well, once you go ahead and get the 50th email, all saying Tamar was a whore, I mean, it gets to where I don't even read a lot of what Rustford sends out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, there are a few people. So essentially, what happens is that every time an email comes from Rustford, it goes into a special folder, and if they don't go ahead and look in the special folder within 30 days, it goes someplace else, and then it's gone. You know what I mean? And generally, in some cases, if I see a thread that I don't really want to see anymore, I have a special Russ Walker folder, and it sort of goes there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, essentially, after what? Three and a half years, I only use 45% of my Gmail inbox. So, essentially, what Ruffer says doesn't really bother me. And sometimes I even actually look at it. I mean, if it's, essentially, if it's Ruffer going ahead and quote some character, Eli James or something, I'll look at it. But, in many cases, I don't take it seriously. You know what I mean?
I got you. But basically, though, he was still in the chat room. I said Revelation 7:5, Revelation 14:5. They both talked about Judah.
And talked about the 144,000, and Judah had 12,000. Even though Judah was one of the bigger tribes, essentially, they only had 12,000. Essentially, what?
And those were virgin males.
Well, I don't, I don't know about the virgin males. Maybe they were. I don't know.
Well, I'm just telling you what it said. Okay. Basically, a lot of.
I guess I never caught the part about the virgin males.
Because it was King. I think King Herod killed all the babies 2 years old and less. Okay. A lot of baby boys have been killed off before they got time to grow up and get married, so they could be part of the 12,000 of each tribe. But what I'm getting at is this. Okay, I quoted the scripture, and Russell, he didn't say he was ready to throw Revelation out, and then he goes to something else. I want to bring something else up, too. Okay, we know the first time Yeshua came back that he had to be crucified as a spotless lamb, the only perfect sacrifice. He was a lamb. But the next time he comes back a fighting man, and he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, so you know what Russ says? He said, yeah, that's a legitimate verse, but the lion of Judah is Satan, not Yahweh. Listen, he's saying that Satan is allowed to go into all pure throne room of heaven and open up the seal. It says only the lion of the tribe of Judah can open up the seal. Nobody else can open it, none of the angels. Now, Satan cannot even go. Okay, in the book of Job, Satan could talk to Yahweh, but he couldn't go up in the all pure heaven because he got kicked out of heaven.
Okay, I'm looking at Revelation chapter 7. And says,
I'm saying, though, in the scripture where it says the line of the tribe of Judah is going to open up the scroll and the seal on the day of judgment. And Russ says that Satan is
going to
judge.
Russ was so Russ was so shit on that. Okay. I've heard Russ claim that he was that essentially Ephraim has a scepter, and that Yeshua or Jesus, whatever you want to use, was of the tribe of Ephraim, not of Judah, and I've heard it all from Rustford, and I just don't take Rustford too seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Yahweh told King David that he would have an everlasting throne, and that when he came back, when Yahweh came back, he was going to take over and sit on the throne. That would be Yahweh the flesh body as Yahshua, the King of Kings. Now Rustford. Okay, and then that the tribe of Judah is going to have the scepter until the coming of Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Genesis 49:10. Yeah, I know.
Rustford is trying to combine the book of Obadiah, where it says the tares have risen above the wheat. He's saying that Judah is all tares, but see, that's something different.
Now, financially, they have stolen all the money and everything, but they are not the, they don't have the scepter because they don't have the scepter would be the royal blood, and they're not pure white. They're a bunch of damn satanic Mongols.
Okay, well,
in order for Revelation 2:9 to be true, in order for there to be imposter tribe of Judah, there has to be a real tribe of Judah. And so basically, these are a bunch of Jews getting, and a bunch of silly white people like Lucifer, and they're getting them to believe lies, and they're bringing in all this ideology, and they don't have any scripture to back up what they're teaching about Joseph, basically.
Well, I was yelling myself that Russ were here one time, and I said he was willfully fucking stupid, and I got pretty well annoyed at Russ for one time here. But
I'm not annoyed with him.
I've been annoyed at Russ for a couple times. I'll admit it. You know what I mean?
I just don't know how, but see, there's other people. I mean, they're not all Jews. Russ, mainly they're a bunch of women. It's basically that second, one of Jim Wickstrom's ex-wives and a bunch of other women she hangs out with in Russifer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a bunch of women, and I know one of the women he hangs out with, she married a Jew, and then two of her serpent seed daughters, also two of the four daughters married Jews, and they have a bunch of serpent seed grandkids, and she claimed to be identity, but she can't, okay? And then that other friend of Russifer's supposedly has a big old hook nose. And I told her, I said, I've never seen this lady, but you're always sending me her email saying you're buddy-buddy with her. And she got a big old nose. She's a Mongol serpent seed. Come on.
Well, okay. Well, can we talk about something other than Russell? Let's go ahead and take a break here.
Okay, but basically, let's change the subject. Okay.
All right, since we go ahead and change the subject, let's just go ahead and take about a two-minute break, okay?
Okay, come back 2 minutes, bye.
All right, hail victory.
Okay. Anyway, how about piss drinking Dren number 23? I think number 23 might be a pisser possum here. We got pisser possum. We got livestock. We got livestock. We got corn. We got bees. We got sheep. We got mules. We got all pisser possum livestock. You know, like old Johnny Cash went ahead and sang on one of his hits here that I used to have on vinyl or something like that when I was a kid from the 70s.
Is that really Brian Reno or is that just a tar?
No, it's a Nimbuster. We have a bunch of Nimbusters. We have some people from, the Manzer Barrel and we have a number of characters here. Folks, we have, I'd say I've got, pretty well, close to the same size audience as Finkelstein and Elier got. In some cases, a little bit more than Elier got. And, it looks like Motor went ahead and left here. I don't think she's gotten over me telling her that she was full of shit on Numbers Chapter 5. In any case,
I meant to ask you the other Friday night with Mona and Carolyn Yeager, were they both listening to Finkelstein?
Yeah, they were on the Finkelstein show. Carolyn Yeager went ahead and showed up again. I mean, essentially, she has the problem in that. See, Finkelstein is trying to go ahead and reach out to the. To the VNN, VNNF and Voice of Retards characters here. And essentially, Carolyn Yeager is pretty well suffering as a, quote, revisionist historian because people are saying, well, what are you doing hanging around with a murderous Jew boy who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican? Why are you going ahead and hanging around this character and then censoring people, go ahead and point out its real history? I mean, how can you be taken seriously as a revisionist historian when you won't go ahead and face the facts of so-called pretend Nazis who aren't even, aren't even white, who have a good deal of Jew blood in them, and essentially have a record of criminality who have been pretty well, I mean, what I've seen in Mamzers here, you've had a surplus of Mamzers who have come through essentially, Lorraine Swift, bless her, she would go ahead, and I'm looking at Alan Truitt's thing here with Joe Johnson, all these other critters. Essentially, what it is a prison newsletter, but like a lot of these people who are in the Aryan Brotherhood, they're not even white, but they go ahead, in order to sell dope, do whatever they want to, they pretend to be, religious. They pretend to be Christian identity. And they learn what I call the AIT Christianity, which is pretty well just, crystallized Bertrand Comparé. And essentially they learn some of what they're supposed to repeat, but they don't even like it here, just like Emmerheiser and Finkelstein don't here. They go ahead and they shield under these grates, but they don't like what these greats have to say in actuality. And that's what, that's what Emmerheiser, that's what Fink, that's what Eli James will do. Now, Eli James, unlike Fink, Fink knows absolutely nothing about real Christian identity. I mean, I didn't even know that until, pretty well when I went ahead and figured out he was lying to me. In October 13th. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Essentially, what he does, he's a, quote, Greek scholar, and he gets all pissed off when people, like Wrestler's Greek Woman, or this guy at Stormfront, who is an actual Greek speaker, essentially, every single actual Greek speaker ridicules not only Finkelstein's Greek pronunciations, they ridicule his translation, his actual claiming of stuff. And if you can't really see it because Finkelstein's pretty well buried it, but he used to, every single Greek speak, actual native Greek speaker, You know, he's a well-speak Koine Greek, which was a common Greek of the era. But the thing about it is that Greek today is based upon the Greek of way back then. And essentially, every single Greek speaker, and some of them who actually do work the Bible, they ridicule the crap out of Finkelstein. And I said, well, that's to be understood, is that Finkelstein, for him, Greek is the third language. You know, English being the second language. I've gone ahead and said that old Finkelstein was raised in a Jersey, yeshiva school here. So English is a second language. That's why he can't, go ahead and speak very good English. He mispronounces English as well. But I've caught him going ahead, you know, way back in October or so, November 2010, essentially admitting he claimed that in AD 910, this English monk Alcuin went ahead and retranslated Revelations to where essentially instead of resurrection, the actual word should have been restoration. And pretty well I caught him claiming that the Roman Catholic Church put, you know, Satan in the pit from 500 to 1500. Well, folks, that is the essence of papist preterism. Nobody believed in what was called preterism. Now, there was no preterism before 1615 when a Jesuit went ahead and tried to get, during the Reformation. The Jesuits were essentially an amoral bunch of weasels who were out to by deceit to go ahead and bring back in the northern Protestant Aryan countries of Germany, Scandinavia, England and Scotland and the rest. They were trying to go ahead and bring in these actual Aryan white men back into the Romish Mediterranean church. You know, I mean, it's been said so many times, there's three sub-races of white people. There's the Mediterraneans, there's the, which live around the Mediterranean and speak the Romance languages or Latin languages of Spanish, Italian, French in some cases.
Are you talking about the Alpine, Aryan?
Okay, well, we're talking about the three sub-races. The Alpines, essentially like the Russians and a lot of the Slavs, went ahead and followed the Greek Orthodox religion. The Alpines, in many cases, the Greek Orthodox religion was for them. What happens is that the Mediterranean races followed the Roman Catholic religion, and pretty well the Aryan sub-races of northern Germany, parts of France, parts of Switzerland, parts of Germany, all of Scandinavia, England, and the rest here. Essentially, preterism was started by saying that Christ's kingdom on earth was the Roman Catholic Church. And essentially, what Finkelstein has been preaching was not only preterism, it's papist preterism. To where here he was saying that, well, the Roman Catholic Church got Satan to go ahead and go into the pit, and now he claims that Satan somehow died when he was in,
before I even heard about William Fink, that's basically what Clifton Emmerheiser was telling me.
Well, that's it. Clifton Emmerheiser
with him because he was pushing the Catholic Church is okay, and all these Judeo-Christian churches are okay, and I said, Clifton, you're full of crap.
Well, I mean, Clifton Emmerheiser goes in for Finkelstein. Well, what happens, Eli James agreed, but his belief is from 800 to 1800, which was a 1,000-year period of the, quote, Holy Roman Empire. Essentially, he believes the same sort of stupid shit. Now, as a guest number six, I logged in and said, if the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in a pit for 1,000 years, how come they can't just go ahead and put Satan in a pit for another 1,000 years? And essentially, what happens, they figured out it was me, who was trolling the crap out of them. But they actually want to claim that they believe this horse shit that they claim that they believe. You know what I mean? And essentially all it is paper spreaderism.
Over a bunch of stuff that Clifton was putting out there. And I used to read it a long time ago. I started reading Clifton's crap because he will not listen. And I got into an argument about Revelations and some other stuff. And he didn't like everything it said in there, so he was going to teach something different. And basically, that's when I first started to hear about William Fink was still in jail, and he was getting Clifton's Bible ministry, and he was a scholar in Greek.
He was a Greek scholar, something like that. Now, what I believe, and what Eli James is finally admitting, is that Eli, you know, when Fink first came out, he needed to claim to be Christian identity. It wasn't just enough to go ahead and claim to be, you know, Emma Heiser's little Greek scholar that he was working with him. I believe that probably he went ahead, he killed this Puerto Rican prisoner when he was in jail, and, you know, for all his lies, you know, he lies and lies and lies about how he is the general population. He was telling the niggers to do this and do that. Well, look, you know, look, Finkelschini, I know as well as you do here is that the main thing, which is wanting to be understood or wanting to be heard by any criminal, I mean, information as to why, who's coming in and what they're in there for is more desired than even crack cocaine. I mean, Finkelschini had to go ahead and be an administrative segregation because essentially if any of the Puerto Rican, you have a lot of these spicks, you know what I mean? You have a lot of these spicks, you have a lot of these niggers in prison. And essentially, if they'd gone ahead and found out that he used to be a pig who went ahead and murdered a prisoner, how long do you think he'd be living? You know what I mean? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. And he lies about that, too. He talks about how tough he is. Well, Frank, you're not tough. You're a pig. What happens? You're a pig who went. You're a pig. You're a pig who went ahead and used your power to go ahead and kill some little beaner, some little 5'6", you know, 125-pound beaner, who might have been shackled when you went ahead and beat him up with your nightstick. I don't know if the character was shackled or not, but he might have been. Essentially, you went ahead and murdered a prisoner, and you talk about how tough you are. You're not tough. You're just a pig pussy. And the thing about it is that, you know, even more unforgivable as far as I was concerned, he lied to me. He lied to Eli James. He lied to everybody. Oh, what happens is a Puerto Rican, you know, a child molester here. And what happens is that I didn't go ahead and actually beat him up. What happens is that I went ahead and I was a sergeant at the time and I acceded to, you know, covering it up. And essentially, the truth of the matter is he was the main ringleader who did it. You know what I mean? This pussy pretends to be was some hybrid nigger named Murphy who got 70 days, but essentially was charged with a misdemeanor because what he did is he initially covered it up, and then what happens is that another guard went ahead and testified, went ahead and blew the whistle on him, and essentially Lynn Murphy went ahead, you know, and did, you know, went ahead and testified against him. And what happens is that there was this other guy named Doomers. He went ahead, essentially tried to blame it, from what I gather, on Fink, mainly. And essentially, he got found guilty, got 15 years, and Fink was facing, what, probably 30 years to life. So he went in and took a plea deal. And from what I gather, the actual complaint didn't work very good. Somehow it got screwed up in the state courts. So what happens, Fink was in on a federal charge. I believe that what happens is that he's another Manser criminal like Brian Wright, who went ahead and learned about Christian identity to hang around to be, I found Jesus, but you're going against me because of my religion. And essentially, what happens, he got in, you know, via Lorraine Swift's AIT course, sending it up to him for free. And I believe that somewhere around year 9 or 10 or 11, you know, 9 or 10 of his 12 and a half year sentence, you know, 14 years, but essentially when he's getting up to about, 75% of the sentence here, they go to him and say, well, how would you like to be a Christian identity minister when you come out and infiltrate, you know, Christian identity? And, you know, Fink says, sure, no problem. You know what I mean? That's what I believe.
Well,
actual.
Hey, listen, I'm looking all on the internet, and everybody with the last name Fink, not Finkelstein, but the short form Fink. Everybody with the last name Fink is a stinking kike.
Well, Fink is short for Finkelstein. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen. If Will Fink had been smart, he would have changed his name to something that didn't even sound.
No, he did. You know, he didn't. Here, what happens is that When old Victor Switzer was going ahead, he went ahead and looked up, you know, my mother's maiden name was Samuelson, and essentially he didn't want to listen to where, you know, essentially Charles Samuelson, my great-grandfather, came over to this country, you know, from Sweden, and pretty well he got a homestead. He was a hard-working Swede. He went ahead and brought over, you know, all his second cousins. He married one of them, you know, the Swensons and the Svensons and the rest here. And essentially, Samuelson was just the anglicized, you know, was the anglicized name of one of the Svensons, you know, Swensons. And essentially, old Victor Switzer, he didn't want to go ahead and believe that. He went ahead and told the lie that I was a Jew. And here's Finkelschini. He knows dang well that Fink is a Jew name. In one of his messages, I don't know how I got this Canaanite name. Well, I got a real good idea how you got this Canaanite name, Finkelschini. You're a Jew. I used to call him Finkelstein, but you know, since his Kazarist looking sister wants to pretend to be a hybrid nigger, I call him Finkelschini here. But essentially, he got a Jew name. You know, there's a on Beer Hall. There's a YouTube called Fink's Got the Eye of the Jew. Fink is a Jew name.
Yeah.
And if you go ahead and you see some, you know, some character, I mean, Fink doesn't really have so much of a hooked nose. He got more like, you know, he got a nose bigger than most niggers here, you know what I mean? Bigger and flatter and fatter and all that than most niggers do.
Big old bald nose, and not all Jews have hooked noses. A lot of them have big, fat, bald noses.
Yeah, he has a huge nose, bigger than most niggers do. And essentially,
yeah.
What happens, you go ahead and listen to him, I mean, he goes ahead, he acts like he's a Jew rabbi with his Talmudic, you know, sewing circle, and you'll end up having his retard and, you know, part Jew buddies like Bruce Gormamser and Matt Twatzogbot, who essentially is a son of a federal agent or something like that, who's a chronic drunkard. You have all these characters show up, and they're pretending to be, you know, they're playing Christian identity. They don't know a single thing about it. And here he is, yakking about what he's known here. If you go ahead and look at his November 1st, 2010, you know, here he is bitching that Mike Hallamore won't print his bullshit. Because Mike Hallamore, you know, doesn't want to print his Jew bullshit. Artisan Publishers. Who?
Mike Hallamore, he knows all these people are Jews too, right?
Well, I see Mike Hallamore. What happens is Mike Hallamore, you know, essentially has a living selling his AIT course. He ended up going ahead, if you listen to his, interview with Eli James in March of 2011, essentially, what happens, he was claiming that all these people didn't want to be Christian identity. He was having a fight because he lives in northwest Arkansas. Well, more like north central Arkansas. But anyway, he was having a fight with the Gerda Kotchites, who believe in the no devil doctrine, which was taken up by Sheldon Emery. And what happens is that, you know, probably the main, you know, no-devil doctrine isn't Clint Downey and her little meerkat, but actually this guy named Dave Barley. And Dave Barley used to be a Mormon, and he has a beaner wife and a bunch of beaner kids.
I've heard Dave Barley's a one-seed liner. He may even be a mestizo mongrel, but I've heard he's no good.
No, he's not a mestizo mongrel. He used to be a Mormon, and he preaches the no-devil horse shit of Sheldon Emery, but really, Sheldon Emery didn't come up with it. Gerda Koch, this Jewess from northwest Arkansas around Gentry, around where Arnold Murray, you know, comes from, she's the one that went ahead and came up with that horse shit. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Pretty well, Dave Barley isn't a Mamzer himself, but what he did is that he's a Mamzerizer. What he did is he used to be a Mormon, So he married this beater woman, and he says that she's a Lamanite. You know what I mean? So what they have, you know, I mean, it's well known. Everybody knows that. I had this one old guy named Ray Ernest. He got all mad because he came in a fairly new car to go visit Dave Barley. He, you know, he worked at the Air Force. He went up there to visit Dave Barley. He got all mad because Dave Barley's beaner kids were throwing mud chunks at his freaking car and sort of leaving maybe a little bit of dent or something like that in here. He didn't like, you know, what they were doing to his paint job or something here. And essentially what turns out is that the guy tries to get around being a Mamzerizer by saying, well, hey, they're Lamanites. They're actually, what happens is she's not the fault that essentially, you know, her great-great-great-great, you know, however, you know, and see, the Mormon Church believes the American Indians are the descendants of Laman and Lemuel. You know, I don't know if you've read too much Mormonism. I read it when I was 12 years old, and I usually train. Huh?
What? Tell you what? Okay, when I was living in Huntsville, Alabama, I had two missionaries on their little bicycles, and they wore their little suits and everything, and they knocked on my door.
Well, they were white. They were white back then, weren't they?
Yeah.
They're not white. They're not necessarily white anymore.
Okay, they were white. One of them wanted to be a lawyer, one of them wanted to be a doctor, and both their parents were wealthy. Anyway,
were they from Utah?
They were both originally from Utah, but
yeah,
they traveled from being missionary. Now, there's seven steps. You go through seven lessons, and then after that, they want you to visit the church and be baptized to become a member. I was open-minded, but back then, I didn't know identity, and I was going to all the churches, and I knew they were all phony, but I couldn't get a hold of the truth, and I thought I was a Gentile and all this bullshit. Anyway, I listened to all seven other deals, and I even went to one of their services. And their services, they didn't crack the Bible open at all. All they read from was the Book of Mormon. Now, I glanced at the Book of Mormon, and I did go through all their meetings, and they said, well, now it's time for you to join our church. I said, I'll pray about it, and if I didn't know the name of Yahweh back then. I said, if God leads me, then I'll join the church, but if not, I'm not going to, you know, I'll call you, don't call me. That's what I told them, and I never went back.
Okay, well, the thing about it is my grandmother wanted me to become a Mormon, so I guess I was a summer Mormon. I used to go up there, but, you know, to the church and pier, you know, with run by the Olsons, and, you know, my grandpa Fred didn't much care for him. We called him a bunch of sneaky Norwegians. You know, he wasn't too crazy about them. But, you know, of course, my grandpa, he was what I call an Easter Lutheran. I think he went to, you know, Lutheran church at least three times during life. Once when he was baptized, once when he got married in 1918, and when he was buried, you know, those were three times I know they went to the Lutheran church, although I'm not sure if he was buried in the Lutheran church. But essentially, you know, he was one of these Swedish Eastern Lutherans who, if they ever go, they go maybe on Easter. But I don't think Fred Lindsay ever went to church, you know, more than 3 days in his life. But he probably wouldn't claim to be a Christian, but essentially, he was what I call an Easter Lutheran. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
He liked his coffee and he liked his tea, and he didn't give a shit what Joseph Smith said about caffeine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He liked beer. Mainly he liked coffee. He liked coffee and he loved tea. And essentially, he didn't give a crap what Joseph Smith said about here. So essentially, my grandmother, Emma Ella May Louise Schmidt Lindstedt, you know, essentially she wanted, you know, she's my favorite grandparent, and she wanted her favorite grandchild to go ahead and learn about the Mormon, you know, religion. So she gave me a book, and she gave me a Book of Mormon and asked me to read it. So I went ahead and I spent 4 days reading it from cover to cover. And at the end of 4 days, she asked me, you know, well, what do you think, Martin? And I said, well, I mean, Joseph Smith was quite the novelist. But I wonder, I mean, he went ahead, you know, the four men, of, you know, the four sons of this guy who, you know, right around the time of, you know, the Babylonian invasion when he came to America, he named his sons Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam. What happened after he named one Nephi? Did he run out of imagination here or something? Did he run out of, you know, did he run out of gas? And, you know, so I had a number of things here, and whenever Mormons come by, I go ahead and ask them questions like, so you say the honeybee is native to North America. Well, how come the, how come the Indians called the honeybee, the Shawnees called the honeybee in 1700s, the white man's sugar flies or white man's stinging flies? How come if essentially like it says, before the last racial war, you know, between the general Mormoni or something like that, you know, who became the Angel Mormoni, who gave Joseph Smith the gold plates. How come you ended up having to where the, you know, they divided the two continents to where the Lamanites or dark, quote, Israelites, the Lamanites, you know, see the Lamanites and the Lemuelites got turned dark, you know, given the mark of Cain, they were turned dark because they were sinful, and he didn't want the Nephites and the Samites, I guess you would call them. They're called the Nephites, and the dark ones were called Lamanites. They believed the American Indians were the Lamanites, okay?
Yeah.
How come there's more ruins in South America, and there's hardly any ruins in North America? How come that is? You know what I mean? And how come, you know, supposedly the last of the racial wars was in 400-some? I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, archaeologically is pretty well just a bunch of bullshit. But you gotta understand is that the origins of Mormonism with Joseph Smith in 1836 and in with British Israelitism in the 1840s, essentially they both started out as racial religions which believed the white people were the, quote, lost 10 tribes of Israel. Both Mormonism and Christian identity started out as an American racial religion believing the white people were of Israel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And since then, they've incorporated beliefs such as pre-existence and reincarnation into Mormonism, and that's probably part of the reason I'm resistant to those beliefs as well here. As I look at it, if I want to believe in pre-existence and, you know, reincarnation, I had my chance to become a Mormon. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's part of the reason that I'm, you know, you can say I'm prejudiced against those beliefs as well. Okay? So, and you gotta understand is that some of this stuff that Rutherford believes in, he'll go ahead and tell you. He's told me that for 27 years when he was a young man, he was a Mormon. He converted to the Mormon religion, and then after 27 years when he was in, about till he was in his late 40s or so, early 50s, he sort of got tired of this Mormonism horse shit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And so a lot of his beliefs come from British Israelitism, comes from Herbert W. Armstrong's church here. You got to understand is that I've pretty well seen in real life all these particular beliefs these people have. You know what I mean? And so in many cases, I can go ahead, put my finger on it and say, this is where this originated in. You know what I mean? Now both, you know, I mean, Emma Heiser, he has believed in what I call papist preterism here. I mean, I go ahead and look here, and he got rather dark eyes. He may be a mamzer himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go ahead and look at pictures of the young man. He looks sort of swarthy skinned and dark eyed here. So essentially, that may be the reason he's going ahead and bringing in this papist preterism horseshit. Preterism was a means by which the Jesuits tried to go ahead. I mean, you didn't hear of this crap before 1615,
you know, during the Counter-Reformation. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
And the Jesuits were the main things. They were called the, you know, Ignatz Loyola. Essentially, they were there to go ahead by force, but mainly by deceit, to go ahead and get all these white Aryans back into the Roman Catholic Church, to go ahead and send all their money to Rome and pay for all these freaking Manser Wops. You know what I mean? Okay?
Yeah.
All right? So, you end up having all this sort of thing. You end up having all this sort of thing, and you know, here's Emmeheiser. When I go ahead and call, Finkelschini and Eli James, Papist preterists, Finkelschini has a fit. Finkelschini has a fit. You know, I have no doubt that Brian Riehl and Obagender Bender used to go ahead and comment upon about every episode of the show, and then I'd go ahead and take that comment, and then I'd sort of Martinize it by adding some blue lines in it. So, Obagender Bender doesn't want me to go ahead and seeing what I have to say about Obagender Bender's commentary. Some of Obagender Bender's commentary is apt. A lot of it is just lying Jew, Mamzer, transsexual shit, too, here. But, yeah, in any case, I've sort of seen all this stuff come on, and Emmeheiser's intellectual thing is to call himself a historicist. You know what I mean? As if Bill Fink is a great historian. You know what I mean? All Fink does is pervert the Greek to twist it to a Finkelschini New Talmud, translation. He goes ahead and he pretends to be a great Greek scholar by reading Herodotus. Now, Herodotus lived around, 400 B.C.? Herodotus couldn't have been a Christian because that was before Christ was on the earth. He never pretended to be a Christian. He never pretended to believe what the, quote, Jews believed. You know what I mean? He just traveled around, he got as far as Egypt, and he went ahead and wrote about what he's seen. You know what I mean? He was a historian. But folks, he was the father of history, and so they claim. But folks, essentially, he didn't. He wasn't, he wasn't a Christian historicist. Whenever you hear somebody call himself a historicist, he might as well call himself a preterist, because that's exactly what's being used for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Anthony Riehl here. What happens? That's not the real Brian Riehl. It's a Nimbus retard, okay?
Yeah.
I see you're going ahead and writing
stuff. Riehl wouldn't be. I mean, there's all kind of tards on here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, tards make the turd roar. You know what I mean? If you go ahead and look at Finkelschini,
it's pretty easy. Once you get into a debate or argument, or once you know the chat room and watch it a tard a little while, you'll see the filth. Like Siegfried, he told me that he was a DNC-line Christian identity pastor earlier. And I said, I've been around you long enough, Siegfried, and most of what you put out is pornography and perversion, and you're always saying nasty stuff about women. I said, I don't think you're much of a pastor or teacher of Yahweh doing that.
Well, the thing about it is the pastor, John Britton, thinks that Siegfried is, pretty well Brian Wright and Mike Delaney sharing his email account. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in any case, sometimes I call him pig fraud here. I mean, sometimes he's gone ahead and, he's like this little raccoon I used to have here. What happens to a raccoon would be real nice and lick your throat here, and then every so often, about every six or seven links, that old little baby coon would go ahead and, sort of dig in with his sharp milk teeth. You know what I mean? And essentially, what happens, old Siegfried, I mean, heck, I sort of be careful about getting a blowjob from someone like Siegfried, you know what I mean? I mean, no telling, whether the old teeth go ahead and chop down on your pride and joy. You know what I mean?
I just told him that he, you know, basically all this perverted stuff that he talks about, you know, I told him that Franken Wigger is more of a teacher than him, because Franken Wigger knows scripture, a lot of it, and he stands up for it too. He doesn't just...
Well, he does. I mean, of course, Franken Wigger got his own sense of humor here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So, what happens, I see one time, Poopy Dog and Franken, you know, got pretty well annoyed at Franken Wigger one night here. And, no big deal here. Anyway, by the way, speaking of Poopy Dog, I know you don't really like watching Wigger Liver, as I call it here. Survivor, I call it Wigger Liver. Essentially, I go ahead and work on my PhD on Wiggers here. And, I don't know if you've seen the last one here, but you had an Alabama faggot. You had an Alabama faggot, a rich Alabama faggot who has a nigger, nigger housemaid. You know, that's why he likes them people. You know, she's a member of his family, a paid member of his family. And essentially, what happens is that, is that the Wigger went ahead and booted this, New York City stand-up comedian nigger. You know what I mean? And this character didn't work a freaking day of his life. And there's this Wigger retard called Seth Tarzan who goes ahead and sides with the faggot here. You know what I mean? And it was hilarious. It was freaking hilarious here. So I think I'm going ahead and, what happens is that, I've gone ahead and sent to a number of people in jail. Yeah, they wanted to go ahead and see pictures of my puppy dog here, the one with the glow-in-the-dark eyes, supposedly. And so I went ahead and presented this one for when old Buddy the Poopy Dog tells me, supposedly, how he went ahead and killed this pisser possum that snuck into the house here. Well, anyway, where was I? I sort of found it funny. In that, I call it Wigger Liver here. If you want to go ahead and see how Wiggers really behave, not as they pretend to be, but as they actually are, they're lying, they're cheating, they're outwitting, outplaying, just betraying one another like crazy. But I had to go ahead and laugh, and here is this, it was sort of like, this Colton character here, so he's a politically correct faggot here, but he's a rich Wigger faggot, Republican, who essentially, you just go ahead and listen to him, and you want to go ahead and just slap the dog shit out of him, you know what I mean? You want to slap the dog shit faggotry out of him here, but on the other hand, he went ahead and got all these other retards, this gook, this dwarf, these other stupid Wiggers and Mamsers to go ahead and vote out the nigger. You know what I mean? So, it's sort of like Fade the Butcher, a.k.a., Fade the Butcher / Greg Johnson going ahead and voting out the nigger. I mean, it was sort of hilarious. And Roxy, she went up there to get her wounds dressed the next day. She went to a wound, for diabetic sores here. And by the way, the doctor and nurses said that, as I was taking very good care of Roxy, they said that they see these people at the nursing home and nobody really takes care of them worth a shit. Well, what do you expect from nursing home people? Essentially, their bed sores and their diabetic sores get bigger and bigger and bigger. And essentially, every time they go in, they look worse here. But whereas Roxy's said that this, they said that I'll stay, tell her to give me an A, A plus, because essentially I was taking very good, care of Roxy. You know what I mean? And essentially, all of them healing, they're about half the size of what they were, this summer when she first went to them. And essentially, she was real glad. She was real glad that, things were, going all right here. You know what I mean? So where was I? Essentially she went ahead and she was telling all these stupid Wigger nurses here, were all upset that the faggot went ahead and voted out the nigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta wonder which one's politically correct and which one isn't. You know, which one isn't. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, but even wiggers are mad at the wigger faggot going ahead and, you know, I mean, he was pretending to vote out the dwarf because the dwarf ran his mouth and told the nigger that they were all plotting against him. So they went to tribal council, even though they won the immunity. It was a stupid skank's turn to go because they lost immunity. He goes ahead for the first time in 24 seasons, gets the stupid, you know, critters with dicks to go ahead and go to tribal council and gets the dwarf and the nigger to agree to it. You know, even though they would have been safe, they said, well, screw you, I'm not going to go to tribal council. You know what I mean? And essentially, they would have been safe. But no, they go ahead, you know, and they convince the niggers they're going to vote out the dwarf, and then the dwarf goes ahead and votes out the nigger, and the nigger's just voting for the dwarf. You know what I mean? And it was hilarious. It was hilarious, you know, how freaking stupid. You know, how freaking stupid. What I especially liked was that the rich wigger faggot from Alabama went ahead and voted out the New York City nigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Hey, listen, there's a bunch of tards in the chat room.
Yeah, there is. And Brian Anthony Real is a Nimbuster tard. So what?
I think Lipstick Skinhead 88. I think he's a tard.
Well, I don't know. I think he's a beer barrel tard. Okay? Tards make the turd roar here. Have you ever gone ahead and looked at a Finkelschini chat room? Essentially, all it is essentially a bunch of mamsers going, you know, an old gender bender said, oh, yes, Bill, you're so right. Yes, Bill, no, Bill, three bags, full Bill. And Lambs, that old Bruce Gore mamser said, why is Dick Wiltney banned? And why is this other guy banned? And at that time, I went ahead and sneaked in a spam about Finkelschini and Brian Rio and Open Gender Bender, you know, essentially being a bunch of nigger and man's retards. And, and then old Matt Twazogba says, that's why there's banned here. You know, he'll sneak in any chance he gets. And, you know, essentially, if it isn't for me going ahead and having a little bit of fun with, an anti-Finkelschini, you know, line here, essentially it's just some Mamser and Jew Tars going ahead saying, yes, Finkelschini, no Finkelschini, three bags full Finkelschini. Now, over on Eli James's chat room, you'll have Commandork McFag going ahead talking, you know, as Warriors, you know, he's going ahead as Son of the Mist or Commander McBragg, talking about how he's descended from David, about how he's a great warrior, about how he's this, about how he's that, about how his woman is white hair, all this sort of thing, about how he's going to go ahead and sell these maple trees for $300,000. He's getting rich, he's getting this, he's getting that. He'll go on and on and on talking about how rich and how smart he is. Okay?
Yeah.
And I go ahead and I laugh. I mean, you know, essentially I go ahead and as a guest troll Eli James's too until Eli James goes ahead and just cuts off all the guests here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you go ahead and look at the chat here, most of the time there's, you know, you can go ahead and have delusional crap from, Commandork McFag and a few other tards, or over Finkelschini, it's yes, Rabbi Finkelschini, no, Rabbi Finkelschini, three bags full, Rabbi Finkelschini, and, you know, Marty is such a tard. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty well it. So, in any case. Oh, well, here.
How long have we been yakking here? Listen, I got to go to sleep in a little bit.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and just call it a break here because we've been going on for 44 minutes.
I'm going to call in next Thursday earlier and let Rustford call in.
We usually have Rustford call in Thursday, but tonight he was tired. And Motor Montgomery was in here earlier, and Motor got tired. I mean, essentially, it's a quiet time in the bowel movement. Right now, pretty well, there's nothing major going on. I mean, you know, right now.
The bowel movement, and basically, what do you think is going to happen with this election? Is it going to be...
By the way, Hill Covington went ahead and they got a post of Obongo. He doesn't know that the microphone is on. It's not on. Somebody went ahead and recorded him saying that he knows that old Mittens Palooka cheated Ron Paul. Went ahead and did the nasty on Rick Perry. Went ahead and cheated Ron Paul out of his votes. You know, in New Hampshire, you know, in, you know, Maine, wherever. And essentially that Santorum isn't going to win either. Essentially, you know, Obongo knows that he's going to face Mittens Palooka Romney. And essentially Obongo is, you know, quite happy with that because Mittens Palooka is just set up, just like John Kerry against Bushy in 2004, is set up to lose. You know what I mean? Hell, Covington, I believe, is absolutely right. And that essentially there's been a deal that the, you know, after, you know, Bushy the Elder went ahead and lost, thanks to old, you know, thanks to Big Ears Perot, essentially is that the Republican gets two terms, the Democrat gets two terms, the Republican gets two terms. So it's been two terms for Clinton, you know, because they end up having a tard like Bob Dole.
I'm getting that. Okay, Romney's probably definitely going to be the Republican.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a damn. Even with all the stuff coming out about Obama, okay, this liberal communist nation, most of the Uyghurs and most of the minorities and all the people on welfare, including Uyghurs on welfare, they're going to vote for Obama.
What they're setting up is that essentially Romney only got about a third of the Republican voters. And essentially they're already talking... Well, Newt, you need to drop out so old prick Santorum can go ahead and win all the delegates. And essentially, Gingrich is saying, no. Ron Paul, you know, essentially, this is his chance to go ahead and be a great libertoon. Essentially, he's not going to drop out, you know, any more than he did in 2008. Essentially, you know, pretty well two-thirds of the Republican, you know, party wiggers don't want Mittens Palooka for whatever reason. So essentially, the Republican insiders, you know, hey, they got a deal for the Democrats to where, hey, you know, Mittens is going to be the winner. He's going to be the winner of the Republican, you know, of the Republican vote. And then what happens is that the Republicans will mainly stay home or not bother, and nobody's going to go ahead and question about Obongo being a foreign-born nigger. So essentially...
All the minorities are not under Yahweh and his laws, and they don't have the spirit of the white man, and all the circumcised are trying to destroy this country as fast as possible, and Obama already bailed out all the Wall Street bankers and everything, and just because a few conservatives vote for Mitt Romney, I think the nation as a whole is turning less and less whiter and darker and more serpentine. I think it's possible Obongo could stay in a second term and destroy the country even further.
Well, that's his job. That's his job here. And that's pretty well what everybody understands. Folks, there is no saving, you know, I mean, as white men, we are forbidden by the laws of Moses from going ahead and voting for the nigger. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that we have to vote for Mittens Palooka. Let Zog fall apart. So, you know, you've never heard me, I mean, essentially I blame the Republican Uyghurs, you know, race traitor Uyghurs, for doing more to destroy, you know, Zog Babylon than I do the niggers, than I do the Jews, even. Right? I've said, you know, this entire show says that we have a Uyghur problem. You know what I mean? Not a nigger problem, not a beaner problem, not a Manzer problem, not even a Jew problem. We have a Uyghur problem. Essentially, Zog Babylon is essentially the spawn of Satan ruling along with race traitor Uyghurs who are out to go ahead and sell their fellow Uyghurs out. And Uyghurs are so fucking stupid they believe that they can go ahead and maintain power over the niggers, and the Jews are just as stupid for believing that they will continue to exist
when this country becomes majority non-Whigger. Well, folks, don't wait 50 years. Don't wait 40 years for this to happen. Don't wait 30 years for this to happen. It's happening now. I've come to the belief there's only, at most, 120 million Whiggers, and that there's 170 or 180 million Mamzers in the Zogland. And I've gone ahead and learned this during the 2 years by simply going ahead and turning, essentially, while I'm doing the movement turd, turning to a news channel and essentially watching the racial composition of the critters that are there. I've seen plenty of bottle blonde, cork-eyed mandrasses. You know what I mean? Lots of them. Eli James, he has Mamzer Jew eyes, don't he?
Yeah, well, not only Mamzer Jew, but all Jews have dead eyes. Even if they have blue eyes or green eyes or light-colored eyes, they're dead.
Yeah, they're dead, and in some cases where you see a little bit of spark, it looks like a lizard. You know what I mean? Looks like a lizard, a predatory lizard.
Your high-level serpent seed have so much serpent seed DNA, they can shape-shift. Sometimes the fall...
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that here. Anyway, that's sort of, you know, why don't you go ahead and discuss that next Friday, okay?
Yeah, I'm a conspiracy emporium of...
That's right. Well, I decided to go ahead and call your show, Logan, you know, Jordan Hunt, Logan Hunter's, anti-Zog, New World Order Conspiracy Emporium, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Would you say that's
it's a good time for me to get off. I've already caught the laws of Yahweh in the chat room, and guest number 29 is saying that we shouldn't even try to keep the laws, that nobody can keep them. And basically, Frank Wigger, and you are about the only people in here that stand for Yahweh and the laws, because the rest of these people are either Zogbots or mongrels, or Mamzers or Jews or you know, whatever the heck they are. But anyway, I think that it's possible Obongo could stay in there long enough to start a war with Iran, or, you know, but basically, Martin, there's not much going on now, but I have a feeling that the shit's going to hit the fan.
Well, it's just going to hit the fan. I mean, the what's going on is that pretty well you have a bunch of lies being told about, both within the bowel movement, both within Zog, you know, as general, is that essentially killing American citizens just because a nigger claims that they're terrorists isn't constitutional, is it? You know what I mean? It's not even remotely constitutional, but here they are pretending, here's a nigger attorney general pretending that killing American citizens, even overseas or in this country, wherever, is lawful. You know what I mean? Well, it's not lawful, but I don't worry about it because, folks, I don't intend, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the constipation of Bill Goods don't protect me. Certainly didn't protect me when I was in the nut house, did it? You know what I mean? They did whatever the fuck they wanted. Didn't matter what the law says. They do what, you know, whoever's in power does whatever the hell he wants to do. He just used the excuse that, well, I'm in the government because I got elected. Well, folks, if you're not allowed as a white man to run for office, then I guess you didn't really get elected in an open, free, fair, honest election. And here they are bitching about the Russians and the Czechs and the Iranians not holding open, free, fair, honest elections. Well, essentially in Missouri, they've already said that if you are, quote, white supremacist, you're not allowed to run. And therefore, if you're white, you're not allowed to vote for your choice of representative if he's a, quote, white supremacist and said he's going to vote in your interest, not in the interest of the Jews, not in the interest of the niggers, not in the interest of the Mamzers, and not in the interest of the Whiggers. So essentially, there is no lawful government at all. So why should we pretend otherwise?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I used to listen to Edgar Steele, all these other people. We've got to restore the Constitution. Folks, it was only, what, less than 8 years when the Constitution was ratified. You had this piece of shit, John Adams, who went ahead and passed what was called the Alien Sedition Act. To where, guess what? Even though Congress could make no law against freedom of the press and of speech and of the establishment of religion, they did exactly that. They didn't even bother. They didn't even bother following their own
so-called constipation and bill of goods. You know what the 11th, you know, amendment to the, you know what the 11th amendment, you know, passed the bill of goods says? The 11th amendment says that when you catch the government going ahead and violating the first, you know, 10 amendments, essentially the government and government officials cannot be held responsible for their crimes. So in short, if you can't go ahead and hold them civilly responsible, and since they own the power of the police, the standing army of oppression, you can't go ahead and hold them, you know, criminally responsible, how in the world are you supposed to deal with Jews and Uyghurs and Manzers and traitors? And the answer is the only way to go ahead and deal with them is to simply put them and their entire family and even support them to death.
Yeah.
You know, there is a solution, and the solution essentially is not to go ahead and get into any form of group which will be infiltrated like they have been, which will go ahead and essentially, because your fearless leader essentially can't keep his pecker out of Manzer's pussy, and essentially goes ahead and has his mailing list go to, you know, sent off to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the One Nigger Project, or in the case of Morris Gillette, can't stay out of the Bolivian nose candy and gets caught as a drunken crackhead and gets sent to prison along with another man's retard and was kicked out of the Aryan Nations. I mean, folks, don't go ahead and form some organization which is run by Jews and Mamzers and Uyghurs and regime criminals and traitors. Essentially, what you do is that you shouldn't be in any organization other than one that you go ahead and found with members of your family you can trust and with, you know, friends of long standing. Essentially, there's no excuse for forming an organization which can be infiltrated.
Yeah.
None. If you go to prison because you were formed, you know, because you were joining some organization in which you went ahead and were willfully stupid, and I've accused Russ several times of being willfully stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows better, or he should know better, and I've chewed on Russ's ass a couple times myself, you know what I mean? That's why I end up apologizing. I mean, you know, sometimes Russ can't help being willfully stupid, but sometimes I think he can help being willfully stupid. I get on his ass for that sometimes. He you know, sometimes he even tries my patience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there should be, you know, I mean, you know, I go ahead and there are people who say I'm insane. There are people who say that I'm retarded or something like that. But folks, unlike Matt Hale, unlike Edgar Steele, and unlike all these other idiots, at least I am, quote, free. Now, I had 6 teeth pulled out Friday night, and what happens is that they were...
The thing about you, Marty, is you're not a bullshitter, okay? So maybe, okay, you're not going to be a hypocrite and lie. Now, basically, if you eat junk food, if you eat pork or whatever, you're not going to lie about it. You know you don't need to do it. You're going to get away from it or whatever.
Well, I'm not saying I should be eating that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just that every so often, well, when it's cheap or something like that here, and I'll admit, I do like bacon. I mean, occasionally, you know, and I do have a craving. I mean, essentially, you know, I mean, the Samuelsons and the Schmidts, you know, they're a bunch of Swedes and Germans. I mean, they love, you know, I mean, you know, we love eating pork, you know what I mean? And
well, the thing is, Martin, a lot of these white nationalists are not living in reality. Like, I heard Carolyn Yeager in this last radio show she did. I forget this guy's name. I don't even know if he's white. He might even be a mongrel or two. But anyway, the last show she did, they did it on how come white people can't speak against the Jews and label the Jews, and this whole show was, well, you know, it's not the...
Hey, you're breaking up, Logan.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, well, hey, Logan. Essentially, what happens is that
basically, I want to wrap it up real quick.
Okay.
So, Carolyn Yager did this show with this guy, And they were saying that white people can't label the Jew and they're afraid of speaking out of the Jew and everything, but it's not white people's fault. And we shouldn't beat up on one another. Well, you know what? I have no problem calling white people wiggers because they are wiggers. You see what I'm saying? You and I are living in reality. Carolyn Yeager, by being friends with Fink and not labeling him a murderer and a liar and all that, and by hanging out with all these other...
Well, she went ahead and hanged up on me. She knew damn well what Fink was. You know what I mean?
She's not living... Yeah, but she's not living in reality.
She's living in reality. What happens is that she's just an old twat who essentially... is running around with Finkelschini because essentially Voice of Retards is a Zog false front. She's a Zog false front. That's why she has no problem with Finkelschini. She has no problem with believing lies. She has no problem with going ahead and advancing lies. And as such, what happens is that, you know, hey, how can you call yourself a historian when essentially you're a known liar? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is people get on to me for calling my parents wiggers. They are wiggers.
Well,
5% of the white race are wiggers.
Well, my mother and my brother and my sister are thieving wiggers. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I mean, you got to understand. I mean, folks, first you be honest with yourself, and then you be honest with. You have to be honest with first yourself, and then second of all, you got to be honest with your family and your friends, and figure out which ones are worth taking with you and saving. And if you're not able to do that and you're not willing to do that, if you're going to be willfully stupid, you're going to die. You know what I mean? You're going to die because of your own stupidity. And essentially,
all these other white nationalists, they're always screaming about, we need white rocks and we need to save the white race from being destroyed. But the thing is, if they don't stand up Yahweh and the truth, and they hang out with wiggers, and they themselves are wiggers, and basically, they don't try to correct the white race to stop being wiggers, things are never going to get better.
Well, see, the thing about it is that, you know, you end up having these people, and they know full well that who they're dealing with aren't what they pretend to be, and they support them. And essentially, you know, that's what I've seen. Even so-called Aryan nations are running around whining like pussies, begging Zog, begging the pig lice, begging the Jews to let them live. Please let me live. Please let me live. Please let me live. And, you know, I mean, essentially, you know, that can't be the case. I mean, folks, these people act like it's somewhat of an accident the Uyghur race traders have set things the way they have. They act like it's an accident that essentially Jews are the way they are. I mean, you know, look, you know, I mean, Russ, he knows that some of these people are Jews. You'll go ahead and tell them, and yet he wants to go ahead and pretend they're fellow soldiers in saving the white race, and that's not the case here. That's why, whatever I say, I'm not trying to build anything. I'm not trying to go ahead and create any organization. I'm simply telling people, you know, like the decentralization of this movement, that what you do is that the first thing you do is you get in right with Yahweh. Second thing you do is you figure out who's with you. Among your friends and your family. You're not out to save the white race. You're only out to save the worthy people that you know, which you are able to do, and to do it.
Okay, I want to make a point real quick. Now, I've heard Carolyn Yeager say when that guy, she interviewed some guy named Bruce something, and supposedly he was real big in the militias, all the identity people, and he didn't like them. Anyway, they were talking about how to save the white race, and the Christian churches were not helping.
Why would they help them? The Christian, so-called Christian churches have been the number ones in advancing the cause of the Jew, advancing the cause of the members.
What I'm saying is the Christian churches have not done anything to help the white race out. They've helped destroy the white race.
That's right.
What I was getting at what I was getting at, Carolyn Yeager herself is not identity, but him and Miss Bruce guy said that all the identity were bad people. He didn't like them. Anyway, Carolyn Yeager said that the only hope for the white race was basically identity people because the Christians were too big of pussies, okay, the churches. But basically, Carolyn Yeager not to see on identity.
Well, she's a Finkelsteinite, is what she is. She's a Zogfall front person. You know what I mean?
I mean, she herself, even though she brings up the identity people, I have never, I mean, because she's had Jew guests on and people that are Jew lovers on her show. Now, if she was identity, she wouldn't be hanging out with Jews.
Well, she don't really care. She's a Zogfall front here.
I mean,
anyway.
She hangs out with known Jews, not just people like fake who pretend to be white. She hangs out with people that are actual admitted Jews.
Yeah, like, well, like Robert Stark on Voice of Retards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Robert Stark, Mark Weber, all these people that are Jews.
Okay. So why be surprised when this happens?
I just think it's funny that she says the white race is going to hell and all the white Christians are helping destroy the white race and that the white people are too big of pussies. And she herself basically is a Christian. She herself is a Jew lover and is not. But then she says that the only hope, basically the only people that have any balls to stand up to the Jews are the two seed line.
Well, she, you know, I mean, but then again, here she is. Censoring people who tell her what she already knew. I called her up in December and said, do you, you know, I mean, there was always the question, did she know who and what, you know, Rabbi Finkelsteinite was? I said, hey, Steve, you know, excuse me, this Pastor Martin Lynch said, are you aware that William Fink, who you have on your show, used to be a Jersey City pig who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner? Yeah, Mr. Lynch said, you do yourself no favor by going ahead and calling in and saying this. I'm going to have to cut you off. No, she didn't have to cut me off. She could have realized, she could have gone ahead and said, well, you know, Mr. Lindstedt, she knew dang well who I was. She knew exactly who I was. And later on, I go ahead and come in and think what she needs and get in a few spams, and she knows full well who I was. Now, what happens is last month or so, she's gotten a lot of criticism for essentially following a known murderous type like Finkelsteinite, pretend to be Christian identity, and pulling all this crap. She knows dang well she's being criticized for it. But the thing about it is that she doesn't want to go ahead and admit as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She wants to go ahead and pretend to be something other than what she is and what Fink is. She knew all along what Fink was. All along. How he was, what he done. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to Fink at all. It doesn't matter to Carolyn Yeager. So essentially, all these lies that they've been telling is pretty well coming undone. You understand what I'm saying? All together coming undone.
Awkward.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break.
I'm fixing it off here, Martin, but
okay.
Basically, you got a bunch of tards in the chat room, but basically, I'm still calling the majority of the white race wiggers. I'm pissing off a lot of people in your chat room, but you would have to agree with me, the majority of the white people are wiggers, and that's the reason that the white race has a problem, yes or no?
Yes. No, that's pretty well what this show is about here. I've been re-engineering the latest couple of shows. Essentially, it is a given that the second song of every show that's been re-engineered will be Wigger Problem. And that the very last song will be the Florian Geyer. Okay? And essentially, I keep on saying that the problem is with Wiggers. We wouldn't have in the problem. I mean, folks, if every white man was like you and me, do you think we'd have a Jew problem? The answer is no. Do you think we'd have a problem with niggers running wild? No. Do you think we'd allow beaners to go ahead
and essentially come into this country any more than they were allowed to. I mean, there wasn't a law when John Wesley Hardin rode around in the 1860s and 1870s and 1880s, was there? Why not? There wasn't a law against beaters coming to this country, but, you know, people like John Wesley Hardin, he'd see a beater sneaking across the Rio Grande, essentially. He'd just go ahead and pull his 44 or his 45 Colt and essentially spend a penny to go ahead and take care of that individual beater. As he looked at it, if he went ahead and killed one, he didn't even mention it because it said before, you know, he killed 40 some men, but as he looked at it, he didn't count, you know, and of course the answer was not counting niggers or greasers. See, they called them greasers back then, you know what I mean?
A lot of your greaser Italians had serpent seed, swarthy skin, and kind of looked like Eli James. Hey, listen, people in the chat room are wondering why you and me call Will Fink a Jew. Well, Fink is a Jewish name. Come on.
Well, I believe Fink's a Jew. If you go ahead and look at a sister, Bridget Ford Thompson, whatever here, she looks sort of like, she sort of looks like...
Sister's last name? What's her name?
She calls herself Bridget Thor, you know, Bridget Thor Thompson or something like that here. She looks sort of like Jesse, you know, Sarah Jesse Raphael. You know, her nose looks like a, she looks like a Jewess here who's gone way past Esther Kikas hood here. And I don't know, I mean, she studied to be a pig and now she works as a cleaning lady or something here. So that's why I call him Finkelstein instead of Finkelstein, even though Finkelstein is the longer form for Fink. You know what I mean? Fink's a Jew name.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, I mean, if you go ahead and listen to Fink talk here and listen to him go ahead, he conducts his Bible study as if it's a Talmudic circle, you know, sewing circle. That's why I call him Finkelstein. I call him Finkelstein because I think he is a Jew. You know what I mean?
Well,
and folks, I stood up.
I just typed in the last name Fink and pulled up a bunch of people, and every one of them had swarthy skin and a hooked nose. Hey, if you type in Will Fink or William Fink, on the first few web pages, there's no pictures of him out there. But when you type in Eli James, there's all kind of pictures of him, but Will Fink doesn't haul it. So I think Will Fink is really a lot harder to pin down. He's trying to really... I guess cover his ass a lot more than
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I mean, Eli James is far more dangerous than William Fink. Eli James has managed to fool Whiggers for about 30 years. Fink's only lasted 3 years, and he's already having to go ahead and go ass to mouth with Clunt Downey's meerkat. You know what I mean? You know, Fink's a complete sociopath. Once you've been lied to and screwed by Fink, you don't want to do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll admit, I was taken in by Fink until, well, I kept on wondering, why is he hanging around Brian Rio? Why is Eli James hanging around Brian, you know, this guy I call Sword Mancer? And what happens is that on October 29th, you know, here's old Fink. You know, I find out on October 13th, 2010, that Fink has been lying to me. And then I go ahead and find out from this mutual wigger that Fink was laughing just like a Jew or nigger criminal about how he pulled a fast one on me and Pastor John Britton by having us think that essentially, you know, we still had our sub form over on his form. Fink, if you go ahead and listen to him, Fink doesn't understand why people don't like him. I mean, when he talks about how he's been gone, it's like he was just gone for a camping trip for 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Fink will go ahead and just simply say, the press is lying. It's slander. You know, oh, by the way, over on Open Gender Bender's forum, you end up having Jeremy Visser show up. And I don't know if he's going to go ahead and release his forum, but every single time, every so often, you know, Jeremy Visser has to disappear. He's going to find it even harder because his brother, full brother, Sean Aaron Visser went ahead and admitted that he's a full-blooded, he's a Cherokee Mamzer. You know what I mean? And that Jeremy is his full-blooded brother. I mean, essentially, it's admitted that Jeremy Visser is a Mamzer.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So go ahead and look at all these characters. Why was Brian real? Why was Brian real with Fink and Eli James? Answer? Well, because, hey, they don't have a problem with him being a Mamzer. Why does Carolyn Yeager not have a problem with Fink with his past history? Answer? She's a Zogbot herself. She's just an old skank who pretends that she, you know, but she had to pretend otherwise. The reason I called in to voice the retards is I wanted to get her on the spot as to whether or not she supported Fink or not. You know what I mean? And essentially, Mr. Linstead, you don't do yourself any favors by calling in. I'm thinking, okay, so she knows exactly who I am. She's not going to call me Pastor Linstead. She's going to call me Mr. Linstead. And so she's going to claim that I'm not doing myself any favors by calling her in?
Well, you came as a guest. You didn't come in as Dick Realm. You came in as a guest.
No, this was on Voice of Retards. Call in. Call in. She had think of she as a guest here. I went and called in as a guest here. I introduced myself. This is Pastor Martin Luther Dzinski Linstead. Do you know that your guest, William Fink, is a known, you know, was a known, you know, New Jersey City pig who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner while he was in custody, and that's why he spent 12 and a half years in prison? Well, Mr. Linstead, you don't do yourself any favor by calling in on this matter. I'm going to have to go ahead and shut you, you know, cut you off. And what happens is that later on, it was live, and then later on, they went and cut it down, you know, cut it down altogether. You know what I mean? She knew dang well who Fink was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what happens is that on the Andy Renarsh blog and everywhere else, there was a big stink about this shit. And what happens for about a month or so, she disappeared, but she's coming back. And I guess the reason she's coming back is that people know all about her. What difference does it make? She can go ahead and go ask them how they think. It don't matter. The people who don't like that are already long since gone. So why not? Voice of Retards is a Zog false front.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it was started in conjunction with Alex Linder. You know, we know where Alex Linder gets his money from. Gets from Trader Glenn Miller. I mean, folks, you have even Bill White going ahead admitting the VNNF has got the most people put in prison. You know, essentially have been doing the most snitching. You end up having old bitch tits Bill. You end up having Trader Glenn Miller. You end up having Kevin Harpham. Folks, if you're on VNNF here and you're a tard there, you're about 100 times, you know, 1,000 times more likely to go ahead and, you know, be set up for an FBI false front, you know, trap here. Covington doesn't believe that confession by, what's his name, Harpham, was real. But essentially, he went ahead, he showed up, and he got screwed. Why are people surprised by that? Well, it looks like Russ has come back on. I guess he's had his nap. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break.
I'm going to call it a night. Thanks for the show, Martin. I'm not going to call you Martin anymore. I messed up earlier. But anyway, I'll call in earlier, maybe Thursday night. But anyway, hail victory and keep on talking.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory, folks. Well, there was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick's wigger, bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bug. A little Guido loves diggling fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mepgoober little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that niggly molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Okay, it looks like Russ has woke up here. I called earlier, and I'm going to invite Russ to go ahead and call in, or other people go ahead and call in. I noticed that Brian Anthony Real, he's a Nimbuster tard, and essentially, with a Nimbuster, you can never go ahead and trust them at all, but on the other hand, tards do make the turd roar. Now, I'm wondering whether or not to unmute John Doe 201-237, because John Doe 201-237 has had a history of spamming this show. Not only that here, John Doe 201-237 is the whole reason that I went ahead and essentially you have to be unmuted if you go ahead and call in. So, essentially, John Doe 201-237, I'm not going to go ahead and unmute you. You have about two more shows, before I go, where you show up, before I go ahead and even think about unmuting you. So, I'm not going to unmute you, John Doe 201-237. It's not for purposes of censorship, but it's for purposes that you have spammed this show. And essentially, you're still under, you're still under sentence here for doing so. Okay? Well, Brian Anthony Rio, you can go ahead and say whatever the hell you want to. If I catch you spamming, you're out on your ass here. You know what I mean? Okay? Okay, well, who cares what you like? I mean, why are you here? Okay? Yeah, pretty well, Joe Blow. Okay, well, alrighty. Well, it looks like old Brian Anthony Rio is going to be banned for life here for pulling this shit. You know what I mean? I don't care. You spam this show, you're going ahead and destroying freedom of speech for everybody else. Alright, well. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go ahead and control the, control of the chat room. And I'm going to go ahead and then ban old Brian Anthony Real for life. Folks, we'll be back in a little bit. Hail victory.
Go through Dickie's Parachute to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt book is in my hands and his leather's all day. Want to be a sword dancer in the SS. Want to be a sword faggot in the SS. Want to be a sword dancer in the SS. Sword man's a sword faggot in the SS. In the gay pride parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Want to be a sword master in the SF? Want to be a sword faggot in the SF? Want to be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF!
Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's not obsessive. I know it surely drips. Get that little butt, a gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real. I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, folks, we're back. It took me 5 minutes to go ahead and regain control of the chat room. You know, pretty well, because, if some of you guys want to go ahead and point out where 44 through 50 hasn't been spamming, well, I'll go ahead and, you know, maybe go ahead and let them in here. Folks, folks, when you go ahead and you go some time without being, without being spammed here to where you see your computer is trying to catch up, and then you go ahead and you get spammed, and pretty well it just go ahead and overwhelms Toshiba number one and even Toshiba number two, well, hey, it looks like the NIMTARS has gone ahead and had their way. And folks, with the NIMBusters, I've never been able to trust them. They're not trustworthy people. They're essentially, what they are is, just simply MAMs are criminals here. In real life, MAMs are Uyghur criminals. I mean, if real life, you went ahead and seen someone acting like that, they could go ahead and have freedom of speech to go ahead and disrupt and cause trouble once. Well, once you went ahead and found out who they were and what needed to happen to them, you would go ahead and deal with them, and then you'd make example to the rest of the Uyghurs to where essentially they'd know better than act that way. Folks, there's no way of saving the present Zog Babylon. Anyway, Russ, if you want to go ahead and call in, why, feel free to go ahead and do so. It looks like you've had your nap or something like that. I did call, around 8 o'clock here, and you once said you were sleeping. So, if you want to call in and say your piece, by all means, go ahead and do so. Okay? So anyway, you end up having these characters acting like NIMBUSTER TARDS, and you can't trust them at all, and it looks like they've gotten their second wind. Well, folks, when I'm talking about what's going to happen in the future is that there will be freedom. There will be freedom. But just because there's freedom, critters like John Doe, 201-237, and then Brian Anthony Real. I've seen when essentially you got about 3 or 4 or 5 spams in. Okay. That you, Russ?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I called around 8 o'clock, and your wife said that you were sleeping, so essentially I just pretty well gave it up. So I guess you're resting and awake, even though it's what? It's 12:30 your time, ain't it?
12:30 right now.
Okay. Well, I won't keep you too long. What happens is you had old John Doe 201-237, and essentially I announced old Brian Anthony Real. And what happens is that he's a NIMBUSTER. But the problem of it is, with NIMBUSTER TARDS, you can't go ahead and trust them to behave themselves. You understand what I'm saying?
But Martin, I don't understand these guys. Are they just like to disrupt no matter what?
Well, in many cases, like John Doe 201-237, he went ahead and spammed the crap out of my chat room, and then it got to where I had to go ahead and set the settings to where someone couldn't call in at the moment turned 105, which was about 6 weeks ago. The critter would go ahead and call in, and I think it was none other than Unknown Fucktard. Essentially, go ahead and call in. He had a modulated voice, pretend to be a nigger or something like that here. And pretty well, that's how I'm able to go ahead and see if there's a voice changing, because essentially the sine wave, You see the sine wave to where you have a loop above, you know, a baseline and a loop below. Well, essentially when it was pretending to be a nigger, essentially there was no loop below here. That's why when people say, is that Axis Sally is Karina Burt, but with voice, you know, modulation, and you go in and you look
half
at it.
Half-wave rectification.
Yeah, well, what happens is that essentially it's clipped off on the underneath here when it's being messed with. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Half-wave rectification, but a side point. I don't understand.
But anyway, John Doe 201237 was bitching that his spamming got so bad the talk show went ahead and muted him. Well, anyway, what happens is that this guy is probably a Mamzer or Wigger, you know, Nimbuster of some sort here. And essentially, all these characters, they love chaos. They're part of the reason that how you've got to let nature take its course. And when critters like that are running wild, they'll go ahead and reveal themselves in short order. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, they do reveal themselves. They're like a virus.
Well, what happens is John Doe number 201237, I went ahead and told it that essentially it had two more weeks of essentially being muted before I'd go ahead and figure out it's changed its ways. And then Brian Anthony Real, who's a Nimbuster tard who used to go ahead and spam, you know, Brian Real, he spammed Eli James. But, folks, just because he's the enemy of Brian Real and Eli James doesn't make him my friend. You know what I mean? As you can see, he went ahead and spammed my chat room. So essentially, the Brian Anthony Real, you know, Nimbuster tard is banned for life. And what happens, so is John Doe 201237. I'm not going to go ahead and give him a chance 2 weeks from now. I mean, essentially, once these characters reveal what they are, it's stupid to go ahead and let them run wild.
I agree. But, Martin, they'll just come in under a new name.
Well, they might. The thing about it is that essentially, you know, in the case of Brian Anthony Real and John Doe 201237, it likes going ahead and following shows here. Now, what happens, you go ahead and look at Logan's show, you go ahead and look at Eli James' show, you go ahead and look at Finkelschini's show. Essentially, what happens is it's logged on as a listener. It has nothing better to do than to spam Christian Identity shows. You know what I mean?
All right.
Okay? I mean, that's what it lives for. You know what I mean? Now, you know, essentially, what these creatures don't seem to understand is that, you know, being Mamzers, being Jews, being Wiggers, they're the enemies of anything that is white, and they don't know how to behave. They literally do not know how to behave. There's something wrong with them. And chances are there's something...
There's a genetic problem.
Well, it's a genetic problem here. It's a love of chaos for its own sake.
That's right.
Unlike someone like myself here, I love chaos because essentially chaos is going to be pretty well the enemy of the current order. What happens is the Jews and the Uyghurs of Zog Babylon, just like every Zog Babylon in the past, they have used color of law to go ahead and get their way and then to go ahead and destroy the founding people who are white. And so what happens is that they are the enemies of Zog, you know, I mean, these chaos, you know, host beasts are the enemies of Zog Babylon. But that doesn't mean that they're your friends. So, folks, what happens is that what I tell people is to be a surfer. To be a surfer on this great wave of chaos, this tidal wave that is coming in, because the current order is out to destroy our population. But these chaotic creatures are not necessarily our friends, are they?
I don't understand them, Martin. They're sick, so there's no rationality to them. What else can I say?
Well, there is no rationality. They act the way they are because they are what they are. They are, of course, sick. They're sick creatures who don't know and don't care how to behave. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, in any case, 82 and 83 is coming on. Essentially, they'll be on for a little while, and there ain't much you can go ahead and do about them. Now, I've noticed, you know, talk show, what people do is they log on, they log off, essentially as they go ahead and lose audio. And there isn't much to do about it. any case, well, we were talking about you, Russ. I mean, you know, sometimes you do know that I, you know, I don't agree with you even talking with Eli James and talking with these, you know, various critters. But on the other hand, what difference does it make? You know what I mean?
Well, I haven't talked to Eli James in at least 2 years or so, but that's a side point.
Well, you go ahead and you do pass him an email. And Russ, I have gone ahead and used the fact in that I will not go ahead, you know, certainly not Finkelschini, because essentially I don't need him to know my IP number, even though he does know it. Essentially what I do is essentially in many cases I use you to go ahead and essentially let Eli James know what is going on. Like a couple months ago, Eli James was thinking that I was siding with Fink. Well, pretty well, I've made it quite clear to both Eli James and Fink that essentially I can't stand either one of those Jews. You understand what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, what happens, though, is that being Jews and not trusting one another, they, of course, take that as meaning that I'm siding, of course, you know, Fink says I'm siding with Eli James, and I'll go ahead and see that in their chat room. And I'll see Eli James saying that I am going ahead and siding with Fink. About a week or so ago, when he had Finkelschini Clint's Meerkat, essentially I told Eli James right up front here that I wasn't going to really spam his chat room because I was busy spamming Finkelschini's. And Eli James said, well, go ahead, ha, 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 la, 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 lol. You know what I mean? And then, you know, then of course, Commandor McFag had to go ahead and whine and claim that I was censoring him. Well, probably he was pulling the same shit these Nimbus retards are pulling, of running around and spamming and acting like an ass clown. You know what I mean? But I never spam, I don't censor anybody unless I catch them spamming. You know, I don't give a crap. They can say Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo. Essentially, and that's what Brian Real, you know, Brian Anthony Real was doing here. And essentially, I could tell this character was losing what little grip it had on reality.
Martin, you have these guys in the chat room banned, yet they're still getting in there. How does that take you?
Well, what happens is that they're able to go ahead and get in there for a short time because they have a very fast computer. I don't know how, quote, Guest 90 is able to do it. But essentially, you have some people who they have a lot of time on their hands. Essentially, they do indeed go ahead and do it. Now, on the other hand, I don't worry about it too much. There's no reason to go ahead and worry about it. I have no idea how this character is able to do it. But in any case, he might very well be a Jew who has a back door to, has a back door.
Okay.
Essentially, I think what he is, he's John, you know, he's John Doe 2 or whatever here. You know, essentially he's disappeared and essentially he is spamming the crap out of the chat room.
The thing is, he's put the same message on now 50 times.
Yeah, he's typing a letter.
Changed me. I mean, he's lost. He could say it 3 million times. It won't make a bit of difference.
Well, he'll go ahead and come in here, and essentially you end up having this tard. He's able to go ahead and do this here. I mean, it's John Doe 20123. Essentially he got a complaint, and essentially TalkShoe, I guess he was so bad that TalkShoe went ahead and IP banned him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But essentially you have these people that are able to go and do this here. You know what I mean?
But my point is they have failed and they haven't realized it yet.
Well, they have failed. I mean, essentially what happens is that going ahead and looking at the TalkShoe, I mean, essentially the reason for having it on TalkShoe, as opposed to TeamSpeak, like Mike Delaney does, is that I don't really want to go ahead and collect and harvest names here. Essentially, the reason for having this on TalkShoe is so that, you know, people can go ahead and enjoy, you know, the chat room. So going ahead and letting, you know, guest number 90 or John Doe number whatever run wild, I mean, essentially, what they're doing is they're proving my point is that certain, you know, the vast majority of critters on this planet need to die. And essentially, the Great Tribulation is a chaos
which will go ahead and destroy the vast majority of them. A critter like number 90, I am unbannable. Well, I guess he is.
Yeah, but see, he's utterly trash. He has no real message. And this is an examination. This is the proof. He has no message except putting AH in it, ha-ha, and all the rest of stuff. What is he trying to prove? He has nothing.
No, he's trying to prove that essentially he's a sort of chaotic animal, which any good society, once they went ahead and detected him, I mean, essentially someone like that critter, I'd go ahead and go against his entire family for spawning this animal. You know what I mean? Now, I might go ahead and take a genetic test to figure out whether or not, you know, that particular bloodline is salvageable, but in most cases it's not. You understand what I'm saying?
He's sick. Whoever he is, he's sick. So, I mean, yeah, he's showing he has got technical proficiency in this stuff, which I don't have. Maybe.
Well, he's showing that he can go ahead and do what he's doing. But that isn't, you know, that isn't a good reason to go ahead and keep such animals alive. You know what I mean? You see, folks, in my particular show, I'm trying to tell people is that essentially we have long since passed our cultural and racial Stalingrads. Folks, do you think that there were not some people, generals and other people in Germany who by the time, what happens is that he's using TalkShoe Pro, so he could have called in. The thing about it is that pretty well what happens is because of John Doe 20123, I have to go ahead and allow you to go ahead and call. I mean, what John Doe 201237 was doing is that he was calling in, and essentially he was calling in, and before I could go ahead and ban him, he was going ahead and calling in and, you know, getting to disrupt. Now, you have to be unmuted in order to go ahead and call. So essentially what happens, you have these characters go ahead and do this shit here. You know what I mean?
Well, I would like to let the guy call and see what he has to say.
Well, he doesn't have nothing to say. I mean, what happens is that, you know, I think John Doe 201237 was either this Mamzer known as Joe Blow, or it was, or the critter was, what the hell was his name here? Unknown Fucktard. And Unknown Fucktard was spamming, and they got names, so he went ahead and called in to try to convince me that it wasn't him. I've gone ahead and seen critters like that. Unknown Fucktard is a race-mixing Nimbuster Wiggertard. You know what I mean? You know, John Doe 201237, I think, is a Mamzer who claims to live in Sweden or whatever. You know what I mean? Okay?
These guys are trash, whoever they are. They've got one lifetime on this earth to do good, and all they can do is create chaos, sow discord and chaos.
Well, they create chaos here. I mean, folks, do you think that a white society like is going to be when Jesus Christ returns? Do you think that such critters would be allowed more than one time to go ahead and show that, you know, why you pretty well dispose of such creatures here?
We still be skinned alive and then burned to the stake.
Well, I mean, essentially go ahead and see if essentially it's a genetic, you know, issue. But, you know, critters like spawn number 90, do you think, you go ahead and deal with all of them, even the ones who are pretending to be white. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's what I'm saying is that you can't go ahead and have any civil society. I sort of think that normally such creatures would be gone. They wouldn't be around for very much longer. You know what I mean? So essentially, I'm going to go ahead and let guest number 90 run wild. Essentially, the chat's pretty well toast here. Somehow this creature has gone ahead and found a way to go ahead and, you know, mess up things here. I might go ahead and notify TalkShoe that they have essentially a problem with the chat room. But then again, I mean, I'm not really in a position where I can go ahead and bitch to TalkShoe about it. You understand what I'm saying?
I can.
Well, go ahead if you want here. You might go ahead and just drop the shekel on old John Doe 201-237. It was whining like a pussy that had been IP banned here. Essentially, you might go ahead and tell him that it's time to go ahead and finish IP banning him forever here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it comes from a name. See, TalkShoe has a technical deficiency here that this is taking place not just in your program and other programs.
Oh, yeah.
So the TalkShoe's got a technical problem which they need to work on.
Well, they probably need to have some software to where if you go ahead and say the same thing, or you just go ahead, I mean, essentially you have to have a minimum of 4 or 5 letters. Essentially, if they repeat the same thing 3 times, essentially they're kicked off. You know what I mean?
Right.
There needs to be some working of this. But on the other hand, for all practical purposes, it's still recording this. It's still, and what happens, I found out that what I do is I go ahead and put at least about 2 or 3 minute gap between portions. Then I come back, download the show, and then I go ahead and amplify it, and then I go ahead and put in the music parts in between. You know what I mean? Now, as far as this is concerned, I have about 2.5 hours of intelligent discourse, and then you end up having what? Guest number 90 acting like an ass clown. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but he can only affect the chat room. He can't affect what's being said verbally. So that
no, he can't affect what's being said verbally. You know what I mean?
And
anyway,
irritate him. That must really irritate him because there's nothing he can do about it.
Well, the thing about it is that if critters, what I've noticed, like well over on Eli James's, whenever Commander McBragg, Clint Downey, or any of these tards cannot go ahead and whenever these tards cannot go ahead and essentially control or censor the information, they run off. Have you ever noticed that when Eli James says that he's not going to go ahead and censor the information, first you end up having old Commander McBragg, Steve Elder, go ahead and threaten physically harm to you or me or whoever. And then what happens when you go ahead and name, that you think he's Steve Elder, they live in Lakewood, Washington. Essentially, you go ahead and tell them that you're on to them. Have you ever noticed that essentially Commander Bragg does not stay for very long?
That's true.
He runs off. All these critters are essentially, errant cowards here.
They're fearful, that's right.
No, they are fearful. I mean, that's one thing you've noticed here. They don't trust in Yahweh. They don't trust in Jesus Christ. They trust in their guns. And they're delusional. Pretty well I was trolling Eli James a little bit lightly. And same way with Finkelstein, because essentially they weren't saying anything new. I was just going ahead in case of Finkelstein, letting them know that I was around, essentially that I was watching them. And let them go ahead and think that, hey, I'm going to go ahead and use whatever they say to whatever effect I wanted to. But in most cases, folks, if you're on, like Carolyn Yeager, we're talking about Carolyn Yeager. What happens is that until December, I wondered, does she know about Fink? Well, I went ahead and called in on the Finkelstein show. You know what I mean? And, essentially, Mr. Landstein, you're not doing yourself any favor. Well, I wasn't calling in to do myself a favor. I was calling in to figure out whether or not she knew about Bill Fink and whether it mattered to her. And the answer is that she knew all about Bill Fink, and it didn't matter to her. Well, what happens, she ended up getting a good deal of criticism by, well, hey, you're not much of a revisionist historian if you're essentially allowing a criminal to run wild. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, he's got a right to say whatever he wants to say.
He does. But the thing about it is how can you say you're a revisionist historian? Well, essentially you're allowing a murderous sociopathic Jew boy pig who goes ahead and kills, unarmed prisoners, goes ahead and murders, unarmed prisoners in a jail cell and go ahead and, treating him like he's Christian identity.
Well, essentially, he's not. You know what I mean?
Well, look, I mean, my position is whatever he did, he did. He spent the 13 years in jail. That should be the end of the story, you know?
No, it's not the end of the story because essentially he's gone ahead and lied. He lied to me about why he was in jail. He went ahead and told a complete different story about why he was in jail. He didn't say, well, hey, I used to be a Jersey City pig here. What happens is that some Puerto Rican went ahead and asked me, you know, a burglar asked me for a blanket, and I went ahead and murdered him for it because I thought I could get away with it.
I guess, Martin, I don't care what the hell Fink does. You know, but personally, I don't care what he does. He can do whatever the hell he feels like doing.
Well, there's nothing I can do about what Fink does here, but I do see the usefulness in telling people about Fink, about his past criminal history. You know what I mean?
Well, that's okay. Do it then.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I do. I mean, it's not like Fink went ahead and essentially, after hours with a sawed-off shotgun as a private citizen, decided to rid Jersey City of Puerto Ricans. I mean, essentially, what happens if he'd gone ahead and he was in prison for that, essentially be a hero. But here he is pretending that he was a hero, you know, like he claimed, well, I went ahead and covered up for, you know, for some other people murdering a Puerto Rican child molester, essentially lied to me. He did nothing but lie to me. He lied to me, and I believe he lied to me because he's a liar. You understand what I'm saying?
I guess, Martin, I don't think it's even worth discussing personally.
No, he's worth discussing here because, hey, this show is about the absolute vermin, the absolute dog shit in the bowel movement. It's about discussing them. You understand what I mean?
Well, for that viewpoint, you're right. Okay.
Okay? That's what the show is about. So, in any case, I don't mind having this dog shit go ahead and reveal itself. I don't have a problem with that.
But I think by now everyone knows the Fink situation. And even
Well, I think quite a few people do know the Fink situation. The thing about it is there might, you know, I mean, you know, in many cases, it's called willful blindness. Someone went ahead and said that Carolyn Yeager is willfully blind. And yes, she is. And you know, as a result here, if she essentially is covering up for lies and covering up for a number of criminal activity, well, folks, shouldn't she be known for doing such?
Who is this Carolyn Yeager? I don't know anything about her.
She's sort of a prune-faced, heifer in her, late 50s, early 60s, who claims to be a revisionist over on Voice of Retards. And essentially, here she is with Brian Rio and Fink, who are pretending to be, quote, white supremacists. Well, what happens, maybe Brian Rio is a white supremacist, but he ain't white, is he? I mean, when people go ahead and talk about it, I go ahead and explain is that essentially I went ahead and found out that one of these, quote, white supremacists wasn't white at all and probably wasn't even heterosexual. You know what I mean? And what happens is that Brian Rio had a fit because essentially I went ahead and revealed his name. And, you know, Brian Rio had a past history.
That's true.
You know, he had a past history with Dickie Barrett. And essentially, Dickie Barrett figured out he wasn't white. Now, I'm not quite sure if it was before or after he enjoyed Brian Reel's mangina, but here's Billy Roper. Says that, you know, Brian Reel is a Mexican faggot. What happens, he used to not get along with Morris Gillette. Now, oh heck, he loves the hell out of Morris Gillette. He thinks that Tom Robb should go ahead and, you know, he's supposedly, you know, helping Tom Robb, but on the other hand, here he is pretending that Morris Gillette is the world head of the Aryan Nations when Morris Gillette got kicked out of Aryan Nations several times by Ray Redfern and was not allowed to come back by Pastor Butler. And I supported Morris Gillette. And recently, I'm going ahead and looking at old shots here, and they weren't based upon Jeremy Visser's Covenant People's Ministry, to where I sent a letter with a honeybee to Morris, Jeremy Visser saying that, you know, Morris Gillette just gone ahead and made me a minister as of May 20th, or before May 20th. So essentially, Morris Gillette is a liar.
You know what I mean? So what do you do when you find out someone is a liar?
You don't believe them anymore.
Hey, you don't believe them anymore. You don't believe anything they say. You know what I mean? Morris Gillette was kicked out of the Aryan Nations several times. He's not the Aryan Nations leader. I'm going ahead, and here's Morris Gillette. Last year, he said that Gary Godsey was a child molester, a convicted child molester, and so he is. Now, I don't know if he was guilty or not. I'm tempted to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt. But then he goes in, he has a big fight with Paul Mullett, and then he goes in and he brings back Paul Mullett, and then he goes ahead and brings back Gary Godsey, and he acts like he forgets all along what he said about, quote, Carolina Aryan. You know what I mean? So now he's doing Morris Gillette's Aryan Nation show. And people are commenting about that. Well, which is it, Morris Gillette? He's a child molester when he's not siding with you, but he's a perfectly acceptable Aryan when he is siding with you?
Martin, let me get off right now. I'm going to send an email to TalkShoe right now and tell them what's going on.
Okay, well.
They've got a technical problem. And I mean, I don't know anything about these Aryan Nation guys or anything else.
I know. You don't know anything about them. But essentially, what happens is that the purpose of this show is to go ahead and reveal what these creatures are.
I'm going to hang up right now. I'm going to send an email to TalkShoe.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and take a break here.
Okay.
And we'll be in a little bit. In a little bit. Hail victory.
Good night.
So, guest number 90, I mean, look. You know, look, what happens is under normal circumstances, number 90, you went ahead and pulled your shit, you'd be detected, you'd be skinned, probably your worthless family would be detected and skinned, and that'd be the end of that shit. So in any case, it's time to go ahead and give it a break. So we'll say hail victory. May Yahweh bless. I'm not going to say good night. I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. Okay? Heck, it's 12 o'clock or so. We've been going on for about, 3.5 hours since about 8:30 or so. So it's a little bit after 12, so heck, it's been, 3.5 hours. Okay? So folks, hail victory.
Which way are you going? Which side will you be on? Will you stand and watch while all the seeds of hate are sown? Will you stand with those who say that it will be done? One hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. One hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. Which way are you looking? Is it hard to see? Do you say what's wrong for him is not wrong for me? You walk the street, righteousness, but you refuse to understand. Say you love the baby, then you crucify the man. Say you love the baby, then you crucify the man. Every day, things are changing. Words once honored turn to lies. People wondering, can you blame them? It's too far to run and too late to hide. Now you turn your back on all the things that you used to preach. Now it's let him live in freedom if he lives like me. Well, your light has changed, confusion reigns. What have you become? All your olive branches turn to spears when your flowers turn to guns. Your olive branches turn to spears when your flowers turn to guns.
Okay, folks, we're back, and I think this is going to be the last segment of the Movement Turd. I've been going ahead and looking, and about an hour ago, old Brian Anthony Rio, John Doe, whatever, and guest number 90 have been pretty well trolling the crap out of this show for the last, what, about an hour. So the answer is, what do you do about such chaos hose beasts? And the answer is that you go ahead and understand that they're cowardly, that they're stupid, that they're idiotic, okay? You understand that they have no part in white society. And folks, once white society comes around, you will, of course, deal with such creatures. You will, of course, destroy such creatures. You've got to understand that there's nothing good about such creatures, that they need to go ahead and be eliminated. But for now, they're useful in that because of their chaos, they go ahead and make current order impossible. Now, folks, as a genuine dual seed line Christian identity, you know, white supremacist, what have you, I believe in law and order, but only among ourselves here. Law and order mean nothing when you end up having Jews and Mamzers running wild. And so you, essentially, if you think you're going to go ahead and save something, you think you're going to go ahead and save Zog by whatever means, you are foolish. You're idiotic. You don't know what the hell type of, you know, society you live in. So, what to do? And the answer, you know, the answer is that, you know, folks, you end up having essentially nothing but chaos and disorder. And so chaos is not exactly your friend, but it's like fighting in a jungle or a desert or in the Arctic. Essentially, conditions are bad for everybody. Just like it goes ahead and rains. It goes ahead and rains upon both the just and the unjust. And you need to understand that. It's nothing that is, well, hard to understand. It's nothing that's hard to believe. It just is. Now, someone like guest number 90 doesn't know how to behave. Okay? Anyway, getting on with it, you know, getting on with it here. You end up having, you know, well, characters like guest number 90 who don't know how to behave, don't much care to learn how to behave, don't know how to behave. Essentially, they reveal themselves. Now, Russell's going ahead and saying, why are you worried about Fink? And the answer is that I'm not worried about Fink. Fink is quite useful in that what Fink does in its search for allies, seeking for what it can go ahead and disrupt, is useful in leading me to other Mamzers, to other, you know, Zogbots. Now, I knew about Voice of Retards. I knew it was a Zog false front. May is a time when the Jews understand that essentially people are onto Jews. So you end up having a Jew go ahead, and essentially the Jew goes ahead and screams, Jew, 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 Jew. And that's what Finkelschina does. That's what Voice of Retards often does. But essentially, do they have any solution? The answer is no. Not when there is no solution. Essentially, what must happen is that the Great Tribulation must go ahead and do most of the heavy lifting to where what we have is we have a Uyghur problem. I have many, many times said is that if white people were what they used to be, we wouldn't have this problem. Essentially, the niggers, the beaners, the Jews, and the rest would know their place. And folks, when you end up having people call for unity, essentially they're calling for unity under Zog Babylon, and they want to be the ones who, quote, unify you. If they're like David Duke, essentially they want to go ahead and take out every penny out of the movement, all the Uyghurs, mites, and all the geezer gelt, so that essentially that money will not be used to go ahead and essentially do the only thing possible. Essentially buy 22 ammo.
or by means to go ahead and individually save yourself here. Folks, the only ones who are worth saving are the ones who are, you know, willing to go ahead and work for themselves, able to go ahead and store up food, able to store up ammunition, able to go ahead and do whatever it takes to defend it. So folks, chaos is not our friend, but rather it's a condition which is inevitable, a condition which is certainly inevitable here in the Zogland, and things are falling apart. And so you end up having creatures like guest number 90. You have creatures like Brian Anthony Rio, who many times would spam the crap out of Eli James's show when I was trying to go ahead and save the chat. You will have creatures like that. And right now, what you end up having... Well, good night, Russ. And by the way, Scipio was asking about what I thought about this... about this picture. It would have been better if you would have had showing a picture of Morse Gillette snuck, pretty well snorting down some Bolivian nose candy. But essentially, it covered your average Quigger perfectly. Your average Quigger thinking that somehow, we can go ahead and all get along. We must use logic and reason to create a society in which we can all coexist. Well, folks, that is the South African Manzer Project. Since it's run by Manzers to go ahead and pretend that they have something to say. Okay? Anyway, good night, Andrus. Andy? In any case, it don't look like anybody else is going to go ahead and call in. What happens is because of the sort of people we have in our wonderful bowel movement, what is going on right now is that all their lies are falling apart. For example, they're saying that Obongo, every time that the gas prices rise, Obongo loses approval ratings. Well, folks, it really isn't Obongo's fault that the price of gas went up. It's actually the Republicans' fault. Essentially, but if Obama went ahead and said, hey, there's not going to be a war with Iran if I get reelected. There's not going to be any war with Iran if I get reelected. Essentially, the Jews will turn on them. So essentially, can't say that at all. You know what I mean? Anyway, well, good night, Frank Wigger. It looks like a bunch of people are leaving. And anyway, yeah, the show is pretty well coming down. Folks, like everything, the lies of the bowel movement leaders, the lies of Zog, are falling apart. Essentially, Zog and the bowel movement is just staggering on and on and on like a dead man walking like a zombie. I'm sort of looking, at some, rerun of the, what they call it, The Walking Dead. And I'm not going to go ahead and spoil it, but essentially this loose cannon, Mamzer goes ahead and acts up, and essentially old Rick has to finally put him down. So I'm not going to go ahead and, okay, well, all right. Well, it's not really a short show. Heck, it's been going on for 3.5 hours. And what happens, that's what's going to go ahead and show. Folks, the lies of our wonderful bowel movement are falling apart. The lies of our wonderful bowel movement leaders are falling apart. I went ahead and looked at old Jim Roid Rage Retard Giles. He went ahead and had up for about a day two shows, his Hal Moore show and another show, and essentially pulled it down. You know what I mean? He pulled it down. He thinks that what he used to do back when he was worth the shit is going to go ahead and make him a whole bunch of money on the internet when it's not. Okay? Anyway, it looks like guest number 90 is having a fine old time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let the pretty well the tard have fun here. I think TalkShoe needs to go ahead and work essentially on, well, when somebody like guest number 90 is blocked, he should stay blocked. You know what I mean? But somehow guest number 90 has found a way to go ahead and get around TalkShoe. Very, very many places to hide, but essentially he's doing that here. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, well, like I said, the lies are finding both these bowel movement retards out, you know, like Jeff Shoup, like William Fink, like Eli James, like Jeremy Visser. Essentially, they're revealed as Mamzers and Jews and Zogbots. Essentially, there's less and less money to go in and pay these TARs, these Zogbots. Less and less time. Pretty well, Christian identity has had to go below ground. And has done so. So in any case, you know, essentially they may show up, but they're known as Mamzers. They're known as Jews. They're known as Zogbots. And so their lies have caught up with them. And same way with the lies of Zog. Pretty well, the price of gas goes up, 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 up. Essentially, they're talking about more and more wars with Iran. But they can't afford a war with Iran. They can't win a war with Iran. Since there's a war with Iran, essentially the price of gasoline will go up to $100 a gallon. And then there'll be nothing be able to be done. It'll be like the days before we had railroads. So, in any case, the lies of Zog and the lies of Zog false fronts are falling to pieces, and there's nothing left anymore. So, folks, that's pretty well what I want to talk about. I'm glad that there were a number of people who came in. And, folks, you know, heck, I can't do anything about guest number 90. Certainly can't, you know, complain to TalkShoe, because TalkShoe has gone ahead and banned me. Thanks to Brian Real. Thanks to Eli James. But, folks, now everybody knows about Eli James. Everybody knows about Brian Real. And when they find out about who guest number 90 or John Doe number whatever and Brian Anthony Real are, essentially these cowards will go ahead and disappear. Just like when Unknown Fucktard was going ahead and calling in, and then he got named, so he went ahead and called in and said, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me." Well, folks, everybody knew better. Okay? So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call, call it a day or call it a night. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh, white men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow, white men go, civil war, ho, on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve defend, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, white men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the cornhouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men, their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Zogling neck, we stomp our boots to stamp out God's own. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi, hi, oh,
the love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, weevil-ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war-ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.